Alrighty, folks, welcome back to another night of Reading Colt 45's baseball. My name is Austin White. I'm here with my colleague Jacob Green, and we're getting ready to start this ball game. Right now, we're about to head into the national anthem, and that'll commence here in a couple of seconds. We'll try to time it right for you. Audience now is going to rise up, and we are going to remove our caps and get ready for this. It's going to be by our Sandlot Symphony in the left side bleachers. Absolutely phenomenal rendition of the national anthem there from our Sandlot Symphony. Out here on the west side of the bleachers, right next to us, actually. And now we'll head into the plate meeting. Both managers out there with the umpires at home plate. Folks, tonight should be a great game between the Reading Colt 45s and TKB Bay Area Baseball. Last night was a pretty thrilling game. Colt 45s came out with a 3-0 win. And a shocking no-hitter from Eric Winchester, that star right-handed pitcher. He struck out 12. Jacob, talk to us a little bit about his performance last night.
Well, Austin and I were talking a little bit before we started this pregame show. Not a lot of strong contact from TKB last night. There was two lineouts and a couple hit in the air, but other than that, there was a lot of weak groundouts and a lot of missed pitches as Winch put on a stellar performance. The only blemish on his scorecard was that walk in the second inning, which it was just an AB that got away from him a little bit, and a lot of pitches that probably could have been called strikes, but just didn't go his way.
Absolutely, and that was the only thing that kept him from a perfect game last night, so I bet he's kicking himself about that, but also not much to kick yourself about when you strike out 12 and throw a no-hitter. Colt 45s will look to shut down TKB once again tonight with Spencer Reif on the mound. He is out of Merced Junior College. Sorry, I apologize, Milligan Junior College. And he'll be leading things for the Colt 45s out on the bump. For TKB Bay Area, it's going to be Adrian Leon on the mound, and he's out in the bullpen warming up right now. Tall right-handed arm out there. Leading off for the Colt 45s in the lineup tonight is going to be a new face. It'll be Colby Raphael. He'll be playing center field tonight. Braxton Riley will be batting second once again, but he'll move over to left field. It'll be Griffith Fenn out in right field once again. That's a dangerous bat at the plate. Carlos Camarena designated hitting tonight instead of behind the plate as he's typically been. It'll be Jose Calderon Serrano over at second base instead of shortstop tonight, as Julio Camarena is going to be over there batting six, playing short. It'll be Reed Alexander playing first once again tonight, and he'll be batting seventh, with Brandon Zanny back in the lineup, once again playing third tonight. And then it'll be, another new face, Carter Jorison behind the plate, and he is out of Palomar Junior College. So a couple of new faces here for the Colt 45s tonight in the lineup. We'll see if they can perform as well as their peers have been playing. For TKB, it's going to be Jackson Parmenter leading things off once again, followed by Micah Cervantes, the shortstop. Then it'll be Nathan Davison in that number three spot playing left field. Dominic Nakagawa playing third. He'll be batting cleanup. Noel Aquino, designated hitter, once again, he'll be batting fifth. Sixth will be Jonathan Wright playing first base. JoJo Kelton coming up next. He'll be at second base. Nathan Bay, a new face for TKV behind the plate tonight. He'll be replacing Kyle Dyer. And then it'll be Cam Miramontes, who started on the mound for TKV last night, playing center field and batting ninth. So, right now we've got Spencer Reif coming out and throwing a couple warm-up pitches. We'll see if he can be as dominant as Winchester was last night. It'll be hard to fill those shoes after just an absolutely phenomenal performance from Winchester. But he will attempt to do so. What do you think, Jacob? Can he do it?
I think he'll be able to do it and come back strong against TKV. We saw last night they don't like that heater. So Spencer Reif has a good heater, and just from these warm-up tosses, it looks like he does have a decent one. 6-0, 195 from Richmond, Virginia. Let's see what he's got against TKV.
Yeah, I'm interested to see Reif. We haven't seen him on the mound yet. Just watched him warm up. He's got good velocity on that fastball and really great break on the curve. So we'll see if he can shut down TKV once again tonight as the Colt 45s look for their fifth consecutive win to start the season. This is the second game of the series against TKB, as we mentioned last night when Winchester no-hit them. That was their first game. And then tomorrow will be the third and final game of the series. That one starts at 6 o'clock. So, folks, if you're planning on tuning in or coming down to the field to watch the game, keep in mind it starts at 6.
Yeah, and it's going to be Jackson Parmenter leading off for TKB tonight. As we said, with Spencer Reif on the hill for the Colt 45s. They're rocking their home yellow jerseys, TKV, their road whites. Not very traditional baseball jerseys there, but you love to see a little color on the diamonds. The wind's kind of swirling around tonight. We've been watching those flags out in center field all game, but here's the first pitch from Reif. Swung on and fouled back to the screen.
So, first pitch of the ball game comes in at 7:12 p.m., as quickly Parmenter goes down 0-1. It'll be an 0-1 count to start him off. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball. Almost hit the dirt. It'll be ball one as Parmenter lets that one go by. So count evens up at a ball and a strike. Parmenter steps back into the box. Here's a pitch from Reif. Fastball outside corner. Strike two. Nice location there from Reif to get that second strike. And now he's got some room to work with. Parmenter going to have to defend a little bit here. 1-2 pitch on the way. Little bit outside. Another breaking ball there. Missed the outside corner. Count will once again even up at 2 balls and 2 strikes. Reif takes his sign. Now he'll deliver. Swung on and popped high into the air, and that one will go behind TKB's dugout. So the count will remain 2 balls and 2 strikes as Parmenter continues to battle here. Once again, really great defensive performance from the Colt 45s last night. Let's see if they can do the same here behind Spencer Reif. 2-2 delivery. This one's going to be shot out into left center.
I'm just going to land right in front of the center fielder and left fielder converging, charging in behind the shortstop. It went right off the tip of the shortstop's glove. That's Calderon, I believe, is out there at short. Camarena is out there at short. It went off the tip of his glove and landed for a hit. So TKB already with their first hit after it took them 9 innings to get a hit last night. So we'll see what they do here with Micah Cervantes, the shortstop, digging in. Left-handed hitter against Spencer Reif pitching out of the stretch. Here's the first pitch. Watching all the way. Strike one's in there. It's a 0-1 count now on Cervantes. As Parmenter takes his lead from first, being held on by the first baseman, the Colt 45. First baseman Reed Alexander. Reif comes set, delivers. Blocked by the catcher in the dirt. 1-1 count now.
Thank you, Jacob, for taking over there. I apologize, folks. My lungs just got hit with a nasty attack from some bad allergies. So hopefully I'll be able to keep those under control for the rest of the game. 1-1 count now with a runner on first. Reif comes set. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply to the second baseman. He's going to go to second for one out. No throw to first. So it'll be a runner on first with one away here in the top of the first. That second baseman is Joel Calderon. Once again, he threw over to Julio Camarena for out number one. And it'll be Nathan Davison, the left fielder, coming up to the plate.
And the runner at first had to actually slow down to dodge that ground ball as the second baseman just kind of waited on the rim of the outfield grass.
Here comes the pitch with the runner on first. Swung on and lined foul over to the right side. Nice piece of contact, but he'll need to be a little bit earlier on that fastball. It'll be no balls and a strike now to Nathan Davison as he takes his sign and steps back into the box. Micah Cervantes over there at first, taking a pretty humble lead. We'll see if they try the arm of this new catcher, Jorison. Now the delivery from Reif. Check swing, but a called strike. So it'll be a quick 0-2 count now to Davison.
I think here they're going to put Cervantes in motion. He's got the oven mitt on. Doesn't want to jam any fingers if he slides into second base too hard, but see what they do here as Reif comes set.
Here's the pitch. No go from the runner. So it'll be a ball and two strikes.
Not a big secondary over there at first.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you, Jacob. It does look like they're right on the edge of sending him. He's taking an extra step right as Reif comes set every time. As now Reif looks down and takes his sign. Comes set. There's that extra step from Cervantes. Now he'll go. Here's the pitch. One's going to be swung on and fouled over to the left side. So the count will remain a ball and two strikes. As Davison continues to battle here in the top of the first, Reif could really benefit from a double play in this kind of situation. Get him out of the inning quickly. As Davison steps back into the box. 1-2 count. As Reif looks down and takes his sign, now he'll come set. Here's the delivery. This one's going to bounce in the dirt and deflect off of the catcher Jorison's chest plate. It'll get a little bit behind him, and that'll allow the runner Cervantes to advance to second. So it'll be two balls and two strikes now to Davison as Cervantes takes his lead off of second.
Cervantes there had a big secondary and was able to go anyway with the pass ball. Reif comes set, checks the runner at second, delivers, swung on and missed. Foul tipped into the catcher's mitt. That'll be strike number three and out number two of the inning. Reif with the K there. That'll bring up Nakagawa, the third baseman for TKB. Big right-handed hitter digging in against Spencer Reif, the Colt 45's right-hander.
So TKB now in a better spot than they were all last night. This is the first time they've got a runner in scoring position over the past couple nights. Here comes the pitch from Reif. Runner goes. Throw is going to be in time. Got him. Nice throw from the catcher Jorison there to nail Cervantes at third. And his third base coach is not happy. So we'll head into the bottom of the first. Folks, tonight's game is sponsored by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of Rain Colt 45's baseball.
3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communications, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communications, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Hello fans and welcome back to Tiger Field at the bottom half of the first. Tonight's sponsor is North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. It's going to be a new leadoff hitter for the Colt 45's, Colby Raphael, who came in to replace Mason Cassingham in the eighth inning last night. He's going to dig in against TKB's starting pitcher, Adrian Leone. Right-handed batter. He's playing center field tonight. Braxton Riley back in that two spot of the lineup. He's in the on-deck circle. Here's Colby Raphael digging in from that right-hand batter's box as Leon comes set and delivers the first pitch at the bottom of the first. Watching all the way, he's going to take that one for strike one, right through the heart. Raphael digs back in. Leon comes set and delivers. A little bender. That one's hitting the air. A little flare back behind second base. The shortstop's going to be over there to field it. Make a little fly ball catch for out number one. So just a little weak piece of contact there. Raphael barely got a barrel on. Couldn't get out of the infield. Out number one. Braxton Riley is up to bat.
And
again,
Raphael had one at bat in last night's game. He came in to replace the right fielder, Fenn, as the delivery to Riley is going to be fouled off into the parking lot. But last night was kind of similar to that at bat. He went with the pitch and popped it out into shallow right field. This one popped out to the second baseman, so might be a timing issue there as this pitch comes in and breaking ball will catch a chase from Riley for strike two.
Yeah, last night he drove one a little bit oppo into right field and just didn't really put a lot of strength into it. And here's the 0-2 pitch from Leon. Inside, just misses. Riley leans back from it. 1-2 count now.
Riley really crowding the plate here. That pitch might have been intended to back him off a little bit.
Leon comes set, delivers. Swung on and missed. Braxton Riley goes down swinging on a nice little bender. And catches him off.
We've seen Riley struggle a little bit with that breaking ball here over the past couple games. It's drawn a lot of swings and misses out of him. So he'll need to make a timing adjustment if he hopes to do anything here in this ball game for the Colt 45s.
And here comes Griffith Fenn, the three batter, digging in from the left side, slightly open stance. As Leon comes set and delivers. Comes around a bunt, brings it back. That's going to miss for ball number one. Griffith Fenn here just trying to figure something out and shows bunt, but then immediately pulls back as that ball's low and inside. Leon peers in to get the sign from his catcher. Delivery, here it is. Swung on and missed. Strike number one. It's a 1-1 count now on Fenn, who went 1-for-4 last night and then was caught stealing in the first inning after that single. Here he is now. Leon peers in, nods in agreement. Throats. Check swing. Called a strike anyway. Two outs here in the bottom half of the first. We're still scoreless. As Griffith Fenn takes a little break, steps out of the box, regathers himself. Leon delivers. Foul back to the screen. Just got a piece of it to stay alive. The one count stays at 1-2 now. Fenn takes another breather and steps out of the box. Looks down the sign to his third base coach. Digs back in. Slightly open stance, knees bent from the left side. Here's the pitch. Curveball's in there for strike three. Fenn doesn't agree with it. Has a couple words with the umpire. And first inning ends. We're still scoreless after one. Redding, Colt 45s. North Valley Distributing at 3801 Crossroads Drive. A proud sponsor of Redding Colt 45s Baseball.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Redding is a proud sponsor of Redding Colt 45 Baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communications, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Redding Colt 45 Baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlu's Tap House. Charlu's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlu's Tap House. The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlu's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlu's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. Once again, I'm Austin Whitehurst, my colleague Jacob Green at Tiger Field in Redding, California. We are in the top of the second inning here in this matchup between the Redding Colt 45s and TKB Baseball Bay Area. And we're having one of Colt 45's famous kids competitions out in left field right now, so they're going to finish that, and it'll be Spencer Reif back out on the mound. He'll be facing up against the cleanup hitter, Dominic Nakagawa, for the first time tonight. Nakagawa saw a couple of pitches from Reif, but didn't see a full at bat as his base runner was gunned down as he swings and misses at a fastball, could not even come close to catching up with that one. Jorison, the catcher, gunned down the runner Cervantes at third base, a phenomenal throw from him. The 0-1 pitch now. It's going to be a low fastball this time, so it'll be a ball and a strike.
I wish we had a radar gun up here because that first pitch looked really fast.
It did. And Reif now delivering the 1-1 pitch, another fastball in the dirt. He's dealing with some good velocity right now. He's allowed just one hit so far through an inning. Hasn't given up a run. He's on the mound. 2-1 pitch on the way. Swung on foul. Straight back into the net. And still, cleanup hitter Nakagawa struggling to catch up to that fastball. So it'll be two balls and two strikes to start off this hitter. As Reif loads and delivers, here's the pitch. Up and in, that one a little too high for the strike zone, so the count will fill up. Three balls and two strikes now. As Reif gets back on the rubber, here comes the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply to Camarena, the shortstop. He'll field it over to first in time for out number one. Nice job from the shortstop, Julio Camarena. Just wait back on that one, let it come to him. It was a sharply hit ground ball. Fielded it cleanly, and then nice throw over to first for the first out here in the top of the second inning. So it'll be the designated hitter now, Noel Aquino, coming up to the plate for the first time against Reif. Here comes the pitch. Fastball, a little low, but it will catch the bottom of the zone for strike one. No balls in a strike now to start off Noel Aquino. Here comes the 0-1 pitch. Swung on and missed. Nice breaking ball in the dirt there from Reif. And he had Aquino completely fooled as the count quickly moves to no balls and two strikes. Reif now sets and delivers. High breaking ball this time. Won't catch the zone. It'll be a ball and two strikes. Reif now takes his sign. Winds and delivers. 1-2 pitch. Another breaking ball. This one in the dirt. Check swing from Aquino, but on the appeal, they say no swing. So it'll be two balls and two strikes. Here comes the pitch from Reif. Fastball swung on and drilled sharply on the ground to the second baseman, Cauldron. He'll field it cleanly and toss over to first for out number two. So a couple of hard-hit ground balls to start off this evening. Luckily for the Colt 45s, they're straight into a couple of gloves. So we'll have two outs now to start off this top of the second inning.
For Aquino, that's what he did last night, too. He had two very hard-hit ground balls, but both resulted in outs as Jonathan Wright, the first baseman, digs in from the right side.
Here's the pitch. Fastball in there, strike one. And as you said, Jacob, Reif right now showing really good velocity on that fastball. Here's the 1 pitch. Breaking ball, check swing. Umpire says he went. And no appeal on that one. Home plate umpire took it himself. Says he went around. It'll be no balls and two strikes. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Another check swing in the dirt. Tag placed on him by Jorison for out number three. So another quick inning of work for Spencer Reif from the Colt 45s. We'll head into the bottom of the second, where the Colts will look to strike first. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communications, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
All righty, folks, welcome back. It's the bottom of the second inning here at Tiger Field in Redding, California, in this matchup between the Redding Colt 45s and TKB Baseball Bay Area. The game is still tied here as we head into the bottom of the second. Our two pitchers, Adrian Leon and Spencer Rife, have been doing a good job of putting runners away, and the Colt 45s will look to strike first. So, Leon finishes up his warm-up pitches, and it'll be Juan Carlos Camarena, the designated hitter, who was behind the plate for the Colt 45s last night, will be taking the day off tonight, or partially off, I suppose, as he comes up to the plate. Out there on the mound, Adrian Leon looking for another quick inning here. He'll look down and take his sign from his catcher. Umpire gives him the go-ahead. Here's the first pitch to Camarena. Fastball in there for strike one. Now, Leon will step back on the rubber. 0-1 pitch to Camarena. Here it is. Fastball this time in the dirt for ball one. So a ball and a strike here as Camarena steps back into the box. Here comes the pitch from Leon. Swung on and fouled back. That was a off-speed pitch that Camarena kind of went out lunging for, made contact with it, but only was able to send it back into the net. So it'll be a ball and two strikes now. Leon with some room to work with. As he comes set. Now he'll step off. Again, the count is a ball and two strikes to Carlos Camarena, the designated hitter. Here comes the pitch from Leon. Swung on and drilled into left field. That one's down the line. It'll get down in fair territory. Now they're going to send Camarena to second. No, he'll hold up halfway there and head on back to first. So what looked like might be a double for Camarena ends up just being a single for him as his first base coach calls him back. But he'll prove to be the first base runner of the game for the Colt 45s as Joel Calderon Serrano comes up to the plate. What do you expect from him tonight, Jacob?
I expect something hit in the air. He's done a great job of getting the ball in the air. Oh, my apologies. With the runner on first, you don't want to hit a ground out here, but with the wind blowing in, not a lot of opportunity to really drive the ball as he hits one in the air, proving me wrong. Deep left field, way back into the corner. Fair or foul?
Foul ball.
Foul by inches. It looked like it nicked a foul pole for a second, but it went off the fence. Just to the left.
Yeah, and that was a big boy swing there from Joel Calderon. That's one that you can really put you down, especially if you're in a slump, because you just were praying that that ball goes fair, because that would have been a guaranteed double there as Leon comes set. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Curveball catches the bottom of the zone for strike two, and Calderon not happy with that call as he steps out of the box.
And Calderon last night had one hit and then struck out and walked as Leon comes set from the stretch. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed in the dirt, waved at by Serrano or Calderon, and he goes down on strikes.
And you could tell after hitting that long foul ball, his confidence just wasn't there. He was really upset and it seemed to get to him there for the rest of the at bat. So it'll be the shortstop now, Julio Camarena, coming up to the plate. His brother leading off of first as Leon comes set. Uh-oh, pitch. Here it is. Curveball in there for strike one. No swing there from Camarena. He lets that one go by. But it'll be right there in the center of the strike zone. So 0-1 count now as Carlos Camarena takes his lead off the first. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. Fastball Julio Camarena couldn't catch up to that one as the count quickly moves to no balls and two strikes.
And Leon tonight has done a great job of mixing that breaking pitch with his heater, going back and forth, just keeping the Colt 45's hitters off balance. They're not able to get that pre-pitch foot down and wait on that break from the curveball as he comes set, delivers. Here it is. Bender, it's hitting the air, left center field. The center field is racing back to his right, and he's going to make the catch, throw it back in to hold Camarena at first.
And that was Cam Miramontes, who is out there on the mound in relief for the Colt 40, or sorry, for TKB last night, making that play in center field. A nice play on the run there as Reed Alexander, the first baseman, comes up to the plate for the first time tonight. He'll look to do some damage with two outs and a runner on first. The pitch is going to be a fastball in the dirt. It'll deflect off of the chest protector of the catcher, Bay, and that allows Camarena to advance on over to second. So now, runner in scoring position for Reed Alexander, and he's got a bit more of a chance to do some damage here, potentially put the first run of the game on the board. As Leon steps up on the rubber, here's the pitch. Fastball, a little bit low once again for ball two.
2-0 count now on Alexander. On the right hand, the batter's box. Runner in scoring position now. We're still scoreless after 1.5. Two gone here for the Colt 45s as Leon comes set, peers in, delivers. That's going to be low and inside. 3-0 count now on Alexander, the Colt 45's first baseman.
Yeah, so definitely not what Leon wanted here with a runner on second and two outs. He wanted to attack this batter and get out of the inning. But now, with that runner in scoring position, he's been kind of dancing around him. So, 3-0 pitch is going to be a breaking ball in there. And, you know, you've got to have a lot of confidence in that breaking ball if you're going to call it with three balls. And he did there. And it pays off. So, it'll be a 3-1 count now to Reed Alexander. Here comes the pitch. Fastball low in the dirt, ball four. So, that fastball just not working for Leon there in that at-bat. As number 28, Brandon Zanny, who was not in the lineup last night, comes out to the plate. Zanny playing third base, his normal position, and he's got a chance to do some damage with runners on first and second, two outs, as Adrian Leon, the pitcher, looks to hold the Colt 45s here. Pitch on the way. Fastball catches the bottom of the zone for strike one.
And Zanny's got to be looking breaking pitch here again. It's kind of been Leon's bread and butter and almost his security blanket tonight. He's gotten two strikeouts on it, one of them looking. Here's the pitch. In there for strike number two. Zanny now in an 0-2 hole. Runners on first and second, still scoreless. Two outs, 0-2 count on Zanny as he digs back in from the right side.
Yeah, and Leon's got some room to work with here in this 0-2 count with two outs. Here comes the pitch. In the dirt, this one's going to get by the catcher. And there will be no throw as it bounces back to him off the backstop. So it'll be a ball and two strikes. And that is the second ball to get past the catcher, Nathan Bay, in this inning. And both runners will advance to second and third. So two runners in scoring position. And now, Zanny, you're really feeling the pressure. 1-2 pitch on the way. Swung on and drilled up the middle, fielded by the shortstop. Throwing over to first is in time for out number three. So a great piece of contact there from Brandon Zanny. Unfortunately, a great play made on the ball by the shortstop Cervantes, who saves a run for TKB, and the Colt 45s will look to hold the tie as we head into the top of the third inning. Folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. They are a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. North Valley Distributing, 3081 Crossroads Drive.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 Baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 Baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
All right, folks, welcome back here to Tiger Field. Once again, I am Austin White here with my colleague, Jacob Green. We are in the top of the third inning as Spencer Wright heads back out onto the mound for his third consecutive inning of the night. He has allowed just one hit so far tonight in two innings, and he'll look to put up another zero on the scoreboard as he'll face off against number 99, JoJo Kelton, to start off the inning.
Kelton, last night, did not have much of any sort of action at the plate. He struck out at least once and went down all four times. He was up. So now he'll come up to the plate, his first time facing off against Spencer Reif. As Reif gets the ball back from his infielders, and now heads back up onto the rubber. Umpire going to brush off the plate a little bit as Kelton steps into the box, and Reif looks down to take his sign. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and fouled back right into the mask of the umpire, who's going to now fall down. Oh, my gosh, that was a nasty hit. And now our Colt 45's manager going to rush out there and check on him. That did not look good at all. It was a fastball from Spencer Reif that was fouled straight back into the mask of our home plate umpire, and he quickly took off his mask, took a step back, and then went straight down onto the ground. Folks, they're going to check on him for a minute, so we're going to head to a commercial break, and we'll come back when we have a little bit more information on what's going on.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops to come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairs will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Number
99 JoJo Kelvinson and right into the mask of the home plate umpire, who quickly took off the mask, took a step back, and then fell down on the ground and was on the ground for a few minutes. They were finally able to help him up, and then with a little bit of assistance, he was walked back into the Colt 45's clubhouse, where I can only assume he's going to take off the gear and hand it over to one of the field umpires. And my best guess is that we're just going to have to resume this game with two umpires out here. Jacob, is that what you're thinking as well?
That's exactly what I was thinking. And as the home plate umpire was down on the ground, kind of getting some help from the staff here at the wonderful Colt 45's Tiger Field, he ran off to the parking lot. It seemed to get his mask or gear or something. So I assume the third plate umpire will come in to call the balls and strikes. So, yeah, we will be operating with a two-umpire crew. And for all you listening at home who have never come out to a Colt 45s game, there's usually one umpire behind the dish and then one over at third, one over at first. So now we're going to change over to where there's one kind of in the middle of the field with the little two-umpire crew. As Spencer Reif actually took a few seconds after the umpire walked off. He made a few warm-up tosses to his catcher just to keep his arm warm. And then when we do get a new umpire, what's going to happen is he'll come out here and kind of get behind the catcher, let the Colt 45 starter Spencer Reif throw a few warm-up tosses, kind of adjust to let the catcher adjust to him behind the plate with the new umpire who likes to squat a little different and get behind the catcher a little different. And Austin, you were a former catcher. What was it? Have you ever had to have an umpire change mid-game that you had to adjust to?
You know, I have not. I've never seen anything like that in my playing career. A couple of times, you know, you'd have a foul ball, go back and hit the umpire in the chest or maybe hit him in the mask, and it kind of stuns him, just like it stuns you as a catcher when you take one off the mask. So you'll kind of get up, you'll call time, go out to your pitcher, talk to him, give the umpire a second to recompose himself and make sure that he's okay. But then usually it would only take about a minute or so, and then we'd be back in the game. I've never really seen anything like this where a home plate umpire has actually fallen down from the impact of that foul tip. And now it looks like our predictions were indeed correct, as we're going to have one of the field umpires come back out here onto the field. And now the Colt 45s are going to have a team meeting. They're going to call all of their fielders in to the infield, and they're going to chat a little bit. So, folks, we're going to head back to break, and then hopefully by the time we get back, we should be back in this ballgame.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back here to Tiger Field. Once again, we're in the top of the third inning here at Tiger Field in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and TKB Baseball Bay Area. New home plate umpire as the crew shrinks from 3-2 off of that nasty foul tip that knocked our previous umpire in the face mask, put him out of the game. As now a curveball from Spencer Reif is barely going to miss the zone. It'll be a ball and a strike to number 99, JoJo Kelvinson. Here comes the 1-1 pitch. That one swung on and grounded up the middle. A sliding grab from the second baseman, Caldwin, stops it, but his throw will not be in time as Kelvinson legs himself out an infield single. It was a little bit of a jam shot there from Kelvinson, just went dribbling up the middle, and Caldwin had to really charge hard over to his right side for it. Made a nice sliding grab, but really just had no chance on the throw there. As Nathan Bay, the catcher, steps up to the plate now, his first time facing off tonight against Reif. Here comes the pitch, and that's going to be a fastball in there for strike one. So quickly, the count will be 0-1.
Kelton on that pitch took a really slow pre-pitch and kind of just waited on it. He was swinging all the way and was able to put a barrel on it as Reif comes set, nods and throws. Bounced and blocked by the catcher to keep the runner at first. We're going to have a 1-1 count now, and now something that Reif is going to have to adjust to, as well as Adrian Leone for TKB, is a different strike zone. I've already seen one close call that wasn't called a strike. As Reif comes set, delivers. Here it is. That's in the air, popped up right behind the catcher, who's going to make his way over toward the netting, and it's going to be off the netting and into the crowd as a ton of kids converge on it and get a ball that they're going to turn in at the snack bar here. 1-2 count now on Nathan Bay, the catcher for TKB. Both the first baseman and catcher made running plays in an effort to catch that ball over in the TKB's on-deck circle, but just on the other side of the netting, Reif peering in from the stretch with the run on first. He takes his lead. Comes set, delivers. Strike three called, ring him up. Hey, Bay, you looking to buy anything?
No,
he says,
nope, I'm just looking.
I'm just looking. He strikes out looking.
Yeah, and Bay really not happy with that call. It was right there at the top of the zone. Home plate umpire says it skimmed it. And definitely a hittable pitch. And we've seen over the past couple of nights, this umpiring crew, a pretty large strike zone. They want these batters to take the bat off their shoulder and swing the bat. As Cam Miramontes steps in and sees a fastball in the outside corner for strike one. So it'll be a quick 0-1 count to the short center fielder, Miramontes, as Kelton takes his lead off of first. Here comes the pitch from Reif. Fastball again on the outside corner, strike two. And now Miramontes looks back at the umpire like he didn't agree with that call.
And there's that new zone we were talking about that Reif is going to set out to establish, kind of paint the black and go top and bottom shelf to see where that zone is and what its limitations are. As he comes in and delivers, bounced it in front of the plate. Excellent block by Colt 45's catcher, Jorison, as he keeps it in front of him. We've got a 1-2 count now. Runner on first. There's only one out. So both infielders, middle infielders rather, playing up the middle, looking to twist a double play and get Reif out of the inning here.
Here's the pitch. Strike three called. Nice fastball once again on the outside corner against Miramontes. And Spencer Reif struck out Miramontes with three fastballs on the outside corner. So he'll be looking to be a little bit consistent with that outside fastball, I imagine, as the game continues. He knows he's going to get that call here. And it looks like this TKB ball club is going to have to expand their hitting zone a little bit. As the pitch comes into Jackson Parmenter, who's coming up for the second time tonight, as the order turns over, and he'll see a breaking ball in there for a strike.
And Reif working with that expanded zone. We've already seen it now on back-to-back at-bats with the new home plate umpire. Gone looking.
0-1 count, here it is. Fastball, a little low, but catches the bottom of the zone for strike two. So it'll be no balls and two strikes now to Parmenter, the right fielder, as he looks over and takes his sign from the third base coach. Now he'll step back into the box. Throw over from Reif is not going to be in time as Kelton slides back into first. Again, count as zero balls, two strikes here on the top of the third. Game still tied at zero. 0-2 pitch now on the way. Runner goes. Here it is. It's going to be outside. Throw down from the catcher is not in time, and it actually dribbles past Camarena, who is covering. And now it'll be a ball and two strikes. Really no chance for the catcher, Jorison, to throw out the runner there. It was an outside fastball. He had to reach across his body with the glove to receive that one and just was not put in a good position to make a throw. So now it'll be a runner in scoring position with a ball and two strikes and two outs to Parmenter. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. So three strikeouts. Gets Reif out of the inning. Still no runs allowed as we head into the bottom of the third. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. Proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back here to Tiger Field. It's the bottom of the third inning as Adrian Leon steps back out on the mound for TKB Bay Area. He's put up a couple of tight innings, but now Spencer Reich had to do last inning, or in the top of the inning, I should say. Leon will have to adapt to a new strike zone as we have a new home plate umpire following the foul tip that took our previous home plate umpire out of the game.
That's the thing, too. It's not just the hitters and pitchers that have to adjust to this new zone. It's also the umpire establishing that new zone. As the first and second innings, normally it's the pitchers and hitters kind of getting used to it, and the umpires kind of showing them where their gray area is, what's going to be called a ball, what's going to be called a strike. So the umpire having to do his job well also and quickly establish where his zone is so there's no miscommunication between both teams and no inconsistencies on where that box is that those pitchers are going to have to hit to get those strikeouts.
Yeah, Jacob, it's definitely a challenge for everyone involved. As you mentioned, the players are just getting familiarized with the strike zone, and then boom, middle of the third inning, that strike zone changes as a pitch to Jorson, the catcher, is tapped down the third baseline as the third baseman for TKB has it, throws it in the dirt, but picked by that first baseman, Jonathan Wright, for out number one. So a nice play there from TKB to get Jorison out for the first out of the inning. And now the lineup will turn over. It'll be Colby Raphael coming up to the plate for the second time tonight. Colby popped out to the second baseman in his first at-bat, and we'll be looking for the first hit of the season here with one out. Leon now comes set. Here comes the pitch. In the dirt, ball one. So it'll be a 1-0 count quickly to Colby Raphael as he steps back into the box. Now Leon takes his sign. Here comes the 1-0 pitch. Fastball in there for strike one. And Raphael looks back sharply at his third base coach. Seemed to disagree with that strike call, but that new home plate umpire has definitely established that outside part of the zone as being very much in the zone. So now a breaking ball will not catch the zone for ball two, so it'll be two balls and a strike to Colby Raphael. As Leon steps back up on the rubber, the 2-1 pitch now on the way, in the dirt this time, ball three. So a quick 3-1 count to Colby Raphael. And you can definitely be expecting an action pitch here with three balls and just one strike as Raphael steps back into the box. Leon comes set. In the windup now, here's the pitch. Fastball in there for strike two, and Raphael was heading on over to first already. That one again caught the outside part of the zone, and we can tell it's a very wide strike zone here tonight. Full count now with one out. Here comes the pitch, and that one's going to be chopped right down the middle, and there will be no play on the ball as the shortstop Cervantes gets to it. Jacob, what do you make of that play?
I mean, absolutely spiked into the dirt right out in front of home plate. Shortstop charging, just waiting for the ball to land. It was basically the height of how high Raphael hit the ball in his first at-bat just behind second base. But gets the job done. He'll get an infield single there with Braxton Riley digging in from the right side now.
Yeah, it was almost an infield pop fly, but it bounced first. So now it'll be Braxton Riley up to bat, and he takes a fastball. Little inside for ball one. You've got Raphael, who's playing center field, leading off playing center. I imagine he's got some speed, though we haven't been able to see it yet. So with the ball and no strikes, Raphael goes. Here's the throw down. It'll be wide. Ball's going to go into center field. Raphael's gunning for third. The throw in from Miramontes is not in time. As Colby Raphael not only steals second base, but then takes third off of the poor throw from the catcher, Nathan Bay. So the Colt 45s really capitalize on a mistake from this TKB defense. And now Braxton Riley with one out has a chance to bring in the first run of the ball game.
And that was a great job by Braxton Riley to take all the way there, despite that ball being a strike, that pitch being a strike, rather. Now the infield's going to have to play in with the go-ahead run just 90 feet away here in the bottom half of the third. Here's the pitch from Leon. That's going to be high for ball two. 2-1 count now, and Braxton Riley laid off a very hittable pitch. He could have just gone opposite field with it, but the jump from Rafael over at first, he knew he was going to have a secured bag over there at second, and then the throw down went into the outfield.
KCNR, Shasta ready.
Part for strike two. Counts all even now at 2-2.
Nice breaking ball there from Leon. Remember, folks, you're listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding. As Leon comes set, it's a 2-2 count now. Riley got a chance to do some damage. Infield playing in. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled high over to the right side. That one will go out into the parking lot as the count remains 2 balls and 2 strikes. Braxton Riley battling here. Remember, he's been struggling with the breaking ball, so we'll see if he can adjust some timing here, get himself a hit. 2-2 pitch. That one's going to go high for ball three. So the count will fill up. And the last thing that Adrian Leon, the pitcher, wants to do is allow a walk here with a runner on third and just one out.
Although allowing a walk would be able to put the infield at double play depth. Here's the payoff pitch.
We're going to drill into left field on the ground for a base hit. So Braxton Riley has himself an RBI single as Colby Rafael comes in to score. So a costly mistake from TKB ends up bringing on a run for the Colt 45s off the single from Braxton Riley. It's a 1-0 ball game here in the bottom of the third as Griffith Fenn, the hot left-handed hitter, comes up to the plate.
And after that throw from Nathan Bay, you expect Braxton Riley to be in motion here as Leon comes set and delivers right through the heart for strike one. Nice fastball there to Griffith Fenn. The right fielder from the left-handed batter's box getting a sign from a third base coach. Braxton Riley over at first, not taking a big lead, just a couple steps off the bag being held on by the first baseman. Here's the pitch from Leon. Curveball is in there for strike two. 0-2 count now.
Griffith Fenn not happy with that call. He just took a big, deep sigh and shook his head as he steps out, takes a practice swing. That one will put him down 0-2, and he'll have to protect the plate here.
And in the first inning, he struck out looking on a call he didn't agree with. Down here's the pitch. Waved at strike three, swing and miss on the breaking pitch. That'll bring up Carlos Camarena, the designated hitter. He singled in his last time up.
So Fenn, after a really hot start in the previous series against the Santa Rosa Rosebuds, now struggling just a bit, going 1-for-4 last night, and now 0-for-2 so far here tonight. We'll see if he can battle back later in the game, but like you said, Jacob, it'll be Carlos Camarena, the designated hitter, coming up to the plate for the second time.
And he caught all 9 innings of Winch's no-hitter last night as Leon comes set and delivers. Braxton Riley's running curveball, thrown down to second, not going to be in time. It's dropped by the second baseman, covering second base on the throwdown. So Braxton Riley has himself a stolen base. That'll put a runner in scoring position.
And I never bet against Braxton Riley when he goes for that steal attempt. Especially out of the stretch, Adrian Leon takes quite a while, doesn't really give his catcher a chance to come up firing. So it's tough when you have a pitcher who takes a while out of the stretch, and Nathan Bay just not able to get it done as the count moves to a ball and no strikes. Here's the pitch. Swung on and drilled into right field. Going back is Parmenter, and he will make the catch, falling down for out number three. A great running catch. Whoa! And now they're going to say no catch, yes catch, maybe catch. The umpire is signaling out, so it will in fact be a catch. Some displeasure expressed from the fans here who thought he dropped the ball. Initially, it seemed like they had not signaled for a catch. And now the manager of the Colt 45s is going to head out and talk to that field umpire, who will, on the appeal, head out to the plate and have a little bit of a discussion. So they'll discuss whether or not that ball was actually caught by the right fielder Parmenter. If it was caught, that was a phenomenal catch. He was running back, lunged out, and made it, falling down. And they will confirm the call for an out. And now Colt 45s are not happy with that call.
But we will head into the top of the fourth inning. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. North Valley Distributing, 3081 Crossroads Drive.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 Baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 Baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
All right, folks, welcome back here to Tiger Field. We're in the top of the fourth inning. Colt 45 is able to score a run off the single from Braxton Riley. A questionable out call on a diving play from the right fielder Jackson Parmenter ended the inning. It would have scored a second run for the Colt 45s, but that did not happen. So the score will indeed stay at 1-0 as we're here in the top of the fourth. It'll be Spencer Reif facing off against number 5, Micah Cervantes, the shortstop here. And Reif has had a really good outing so far through three innings. Jacob, do you expect that to continue here?
Yeah, he's only given up 2 hits, and Cervantes in the first inning reached on the fielder's choice, got to second on a wild pitch, and then was thrown out, caught stealing at third.
And now it looks like we're going to have our previous home plate umpire, who was knocked out of the game on a foul tip that went back into his face mask and knocked him down earlier. He's going to be back in the game, but he'll come back as a field umpire over there at third base. So good to see that he's back up in the game. Definitely not going to want to take that spot behind home plate, but just good to see him back out here. As Reif sets up and delivers a fastball in the outside corner for strike one. The lights now turning on here at Tiger Field. Seems a little earlier than usual, but I'm not complaining. Here's the pitch. That one a little low this time for ball one, so it'll be a ball and a strike to Cervantes. Now, Reif coming set. Here comes the 1-1 pitch on the way. Curveball off the outside corner, ball two. So a little bit of an issue with control here as that second curveball goes outside of the zone. 2-1 pitch now on the way. Fastball on the outside corner, strike two. Cervantes not too happy with that call. A lot of these batters not happy with the wide strike zone we're seeing here tonight. But it is moving the game along. So 2 balls and 2 strikes. Here's the pitch. Swung on and tapped down the middle. It'll be Caldwin to make the play. He'll glove it, throw it on over to first for out number one. A nice play from Caldwin. He had to rush over to his right side to grab that chopper, fielded it cleanly, and then delivered a nice throw on over to first for out number one. So that'll bring up Nathan Davison, the left fielder, for the second time tonight against Spencer Reif, the pitcher. And now he'll step into the box. Reif comes set. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and fouled straight down into the plate for strike one.
And Davison in his first time up went down swinging, so we'll see if he can do something different here with the Colt 45s up 1-0 in the top of the fourth. Spencer Reif comes set, delivers. Strike two is called just in the upper corner on the outside edge. 0-2 count now on Davison, TKB's left fielder. So Reif delivers. That's going to be low and outside for ball number one. It's a 1-2 count now. That fastball from Reif just looking a little bit out of control, but try to bounce back here and get the K. Comes set, delivers. That one's grounded right back to Reif, who walks it over to first and gives it a little toss. going to go 1-3 on the play. Cut it off. The second baseman was ready for it, but Reif nonetheless says, don't worry, I got it.
See, Dominic Nakagawa now coming up to the plate for the second time tonight. And Phillip just put something together here with two outs in the top of the fourth. Spencer Reif has just been pretty lights out here for the Colt 45s tonight. See, winds up and delivers. Here's the pitch. Fastball low. Ball one. As Nakagawa steps back in, here's the 1-0 pitch. Swung on and missed. A high fastball there for strike one.
Yeah, high cheese there from Spencer Reif, and Nakagawa couldn't hold up, and he couldn't catch up to it either. Just completely missed it. Count's all even here at 1-1. Here's the pitch from Reif. That's going to be up and in, ball two. 2-1 count now. Nakagawa takes a step out, takes a little breather. Three fastballs here from Reif. Here's the pitch. Another fastball fouled back, 2-2, counts all even. Two balls and two strikes, Reif looking to get out of the inning. Two gone here. Top of the fourth inning, 1-0, Colt 45 is on top. Reif, the 2-2 pitch. Right in there, strike three called for out number three. Nakagawa looking around and shopping, but he doesn't want to buy anything. Three gone here.
Another nice inning of work from Spencer Reif. As the Colt 45s look to extend their run lead as we head into the bottom of the fourth inning. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45s baseball.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Hey Redding, take an inflation vacation with Black Bear Diner's 7 new weekday dinner deals starting at just $9.99. Tasty fish tacos, creamy fettuccine carbonara, steak and fries, a crispy chicken dinner, beef stroganoff, and more. Serve Monday through Friday after 4 p.m. Escape inflation's grip on your wallet and set the table tonight with good old-fashioned family food at your friendly Black Bear Diner in Redding on Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
All right, folks, welcome back. It is the bottom of the fourth inning here at Tiger Field in Redding, California. It's going to be number 16, Joel Calderon Serrano, the second baseman, up to the plate for the second time tonight, facing off against Adrian Leon. And he'll look to start things off here. Colt 45 is looking to extend their one-run lead. It's 1-0 here in the bottom of the fourth. As the pitch comes in, that'll be an off-speed, a little too low for ball one. So a quick 1-0 count now to Calderon. Here comes the 1-0 pitch from Leon. Another curveball. That one's going to be in there this time for strike one. So it'll be a quick 1-1 count now to Calderon Serrano as he steps back into the box. 1-1 pitch now on the way. Here it is. Swung on and chopped down the line. Third baseman's going to grab it. Throwing over to first is in time for out number one. And you might hear some screams of displeasure from this crowd. It was a wide throw that nearly pulled the first baseman, Jonathan Wright, off the bag. But the umpire said that he stayed on just long enough to make the out. That ball was nearly in the gap, but the third baseman, Dominic Nakagawa, made a great effort to range over and snag it before making that throw over to first. So that'll bring up Julio Camarena, the shortstop, to the plate as he watches a curveball go by for ball one. There'll be a 1-0 count now to Camarena as he steps back into the box. Leon comes set. Here's the pitch. Low for ball two. So it'll be a 2-0 count now to Camarena as he steps back in. Two balls with one out here in the bottom of the fourth inning. Camarena looking to put something together here. Pitch swung on and driven high into right field. Parmenter ranging back at the warning track will make the catch. And Camarena just got underneath that one. If he had leveled it out a little bit more, that ball probably would have been gone, Jacob.
Definitely would have been gone. With the wind kind of blowing in and out a little bit, knock the ball down when it's in the air out there toward right. But great job by Camarena to drive the ball opposite field. Just couldn't quite get under, got a little too under it, rather. And now that'll bring up Reed Alexander, the first baseman, digging in from the right side. Here's the pitch from Leon as he bounced in the dirt for ball one.
So with two outs, Reed Alexander will look to start things off with the Colt 45s. See if he can make some magic happen. As Leon comes set, here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply over to the left side. Cervantes, the shortstop, has it. Thrown over to first is in time for out number three. So some nice contact from Alexander, unfortunately, right into the glove of Cervantes as we head into the top of the fifth. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. They're a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. It is the top of the fifth inning here at Tiger Field. It'll be Spencer Reif back out onto the mound for the Colt 45s. He's thrown four straight shutout innings so far against this TKB ball club as they'll look to put up their first runs in the ballgame. Colt 45s lead 1-0 off of that RBI single from Braxton Riley in the bottom of the third inning. And they'll look to hold that lead here in the top of the fifth. Leading off for TKB, it's going to be Noel Aquino, the designated hitter. And he'll see if he can get something started as Jorison fires his warm-up throw down to second. And Reif gets the ball back from his third baseman, Zani, and will head up onto the rubber. So Aquino will take a quick practice swing and then head into the box. Picks up some dirt before rubbing it on his pants, and now we're ready to get things started here in the top of the fifth. Reif comes set and delivers. Check swing, no appeal. Ball was in the dirt there. It'll be one ball and no strikes.
And Aquino here just looking to put some barrel on the ball as he's grounded out three times in his five at-bats against Colt 45. He takes ball two, 2-0 count now.
So it'll be two balls and no strikes to Aquino as he gets ready. Reif comes set and delivers. That one swung on and driven into deep center field. Center fielder Raphael is ranging back and makes the catch on the run before slamming into the wall. A phenomenal running catch from Colby Raphael. And I got to say, I thought that one was going to be a double, maybe triple, as it headed into center field, Jacob.
I thought that one had a chance to get over the wall, but it was hit to one of the deepest parts of the ballpark, right out to the probably 10 feet to the right of the 406 sign. And again, with that wind swirling, ball seemed to be knocked down a little bit, and a great play by Raphael out there patrolling center field for the first time.
So it'll be Jonathan Wright now up to the plate as he sees a low fastball for strike one from Spencer Reif. Reif now stepping back onto the rubber. Here's the 0-1 pitch to Wright. Swung on and missed. Strike two, an off-speed pitch. Had Wright fooled there, and quickly he goes down 0-2. Here comes the next pitch. High fastball this time. That one will not catch the strike zone. Count moves to a ball and two strikes now. Right back in the box. Right on the rubber. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed in the dirt. Nice block from Jordison. The throw on to first is well in time for out number two. So a nice job there from Jordison to get in front of that ball in the dirt, knock it down, throw it over to first. And Reif has himself another strikeout as JoJo Keldon, the second baseman, comes up for the second time tonight. Reif up on the rubber. Here comes first pitch to Kelton. Check swing. Did he go? Yes, he did. A late appeal to the first base umpire, but Reif gets a strike out of it, so it'll be an 0-1 count now. Here comes the pitch. Another check swing, but this one's going to be called strike two. And I got to say, all night, Kelton cannot seem to make up his mind on whether he wants to swing or not. 0-2 pitch. Here it is. Swung on him this time, fouled back into the net. So finally, Kelton able to make a decision on whether to swing. And he stays alive as that one goes back into the net. 0-2 pitch. Looking to end things here. Here it is. And that is going to be a breaking ball in the dirt for ball one. So the count will move to a ball and two strikes. Reif definitely has some wiggle room here. No runners on. Two outs. He's got a one-run lead. 1-2 count. Here's the pitch. Strike three called. Fastball in the outside corner. Kelton didn't agree with it. But that'll end things here in the top of the fifth. As we head into the bottom of the inning, Colt's going to look to extend that one-run lead. Remember, folks, North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communications, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Cascade Curations in downtown Reading is a unique destination location. Cascade Curations is a vibrant hub celebrating the creativity and talent of local artists, musicians, and designers. Clothing racks are stocked with upcycled and upscale thrift, as well as new clothing unlike anywhere else. Whether you're seeking beautiful artwork to adorn your home, new music to inspire you, or musical instruments and gear to play, Cascade Curations is a must-visit spot to immerse yourself in Reading's thriving arts and culture scene, located in the Foundry Square next to the Dip.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. Here is the bottom of the fifth inning. It'll be Brandon Zanny up to the plate for the second time tonight against Adrian Leone. Colt 45's lead TKB 1-0 here in the bottom of the fifth, and Zanny will look to get some started, try to extend that one-run lead as Leone steps up onto the mound. He's been good for TKB so far, limited the Colts to just one run through four innings. Let's see if he can shut him down here. Pitch is going to be grounded softly to the second baseman, who will pick it up and fire on over to first for out number one. So a first pitch ground ball from Leone to Zanny gets a quick out here in the bottom of the fifth, and that'll bring up the catcher Jorison to the plate. Jorison up for the second time tonight and the second time this season, as this is his first appearance with the Colt 45s. He's out of Palomar Junior College. He'll step up to the plate. 0-for-1 tonight. He'll be looking for his first hit. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and grounded very softly down the right field line. That one had some interesting spin on it that kind of stopped it just about halfway up the line. So it'll be no balls and a strike to start off Jorison, who will look to start things off here for the Colt 45s. Now, pitcher Leone is going to grab a new ball. Home plate umpire is Anthony Ortiz back there. Funny story, when I was in high school, I actually umpired with Anthony Ortiz for a couple of Little League games.
Well, his zone tonight is a lot better than most Little League umpire zones are, but call a strike there. 0-2 count now on Jorison.
Absolutely. So it'll be no balls and two strikes to Jorison. He'll have to protect the plate a little bit here with an out. No runners on. Colby Rafael on deck. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply to the shortstop, Cervantes. Cervantes picks it up on a run, fires over to first for out number two. And I got to say, Cervantes is locked down at that shortstop position. He plays that spot a lot better than I see a lot of other shortstops at this level. Even being a little bit shorter than most of the other guys on his team, he's got a strong arm and a phenomenal glove. As Colby Rafael comes up to the plate, I don't think we've seen him commit an error yet in this series. Now Leone comes set. Here's the pitch. That one's going to be spiked in the dirt.
What impresses me most about Cervantes is his fundamentals. The footwork, the quickness, he glides to the ball. It's actually pretty fun to watch. And you see him drive forward with his wrist to get that ball as it is bouncing toward him and just charge it and then smoothly. All his momentum carries toward first and makes an excellent throw as the pitch comes in from Leone. That's going to be high, just misses.
Yeah, like you said, Jacob, His fundamentals, honestly, look reminiscent of a big league ball player, even though we're far from that level, but he is really strong out there at that position. As a swing chops the ball up the middle, second baseman's got it, throwing over to first is not in time, as Colby Rafael legs himself out an infield single. That ball was chopped on the ground up the middle. The second baseman, Kelton, did a nice job of ranging over to the right side to grab that ball and then making a crossbody throw. It was a good throw, just came a little too late as Rafael's speed picks himself up to single. So it'll be a runner on first now with two outs. Braxton Riley up to the plate. He drove in the only run for the Colts so far as a pick over to first is not in time. Rafael is back into the bag standing up. Braxton Riley still waiting for his first pitch. And now TKB manager is going to call time and head on out to the mound, have a little chat with his pitcher. The entire infield will converge. And now Braxton Riley is going to walk over and talk to his manager. They're going to have a little bit of a conversation, talk some strategy with two outs and a runner on first. And we'll see what this defense is up to. They might be discussing some sort of trick play. There's no activity in the bullpen, so I can't imagine he's trying to buy any sort of time for a pitcher to warm up. Instead, I would have to imagine they're talking some sort of strategy about how they're going to get the final out of this inning. Again, we've got two outs. Colby Rafael leading off of first. Remember, he's definitely a speed threat here as Leon delivers. And that's a fastball in there for strike one. But Rafael had that stolen base, which he ended up reaching third, actually, off of a poor throw from the catcher. As the 0-1 delivery now from Leon is going to be high for ball one. So it would be a ball and a strike. Rafael seemed to deke a steal there, but he heads back to first. 1-1 count. Leon takes his sign. Rafael taking a good lead. Here's the pitch. Fastball, outside corner, strike two.
I imagine that conversation was something like, don't worry about the runner on first. You got Braxton Riley's number. Just get the punch out and get out of the inning. So I don't anticipate a throw from the catcher in case Rafael does go here.
1-2 pitch. Runner goes. This one's going to be fouled back into the parking lot by Braxton Riley. So Rafael indeed was sent on that pitch, but it'll remain a 1-2 count to Braxton Riley as he steps back into the box here. Leon will look down and take his sign. Now he comes set. 1-2 pitch on the way. Here it is. Swung on and hit softly in the air out to the shortstop, who will take a couple steps back and make the catch for out number three. So nothing doing here in the bottom of the fifth for the Colt 45s. We'll head to the top of the sixth, where TKB will look to tie it up. Colts lead 1-0. Remember, folks, tonight's game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45s baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45s baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Cinerama and Tri-County Sync presents Cruise by the Bridge at Turtle Bay, taking place Friday, June 14th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the Botanical Gardens at the Sundial Bridge in Reading.
This 21-plus event features over 10 local craft breweries serving ice-cold beer, plus two live music stages, local food vendors, fun activities, and more.
All proceeds support Turtle Bay's educational and cultural programming.
Don't miss Cruise by the Bridge at Turtle Bay on Friday, June 14th.
Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
I'm Scott Schaffner, proud member of Reading West Rotary. Dignity Health and Reading West Rotary present the 17th Annual Taste of Reading 2024, Sunday, June 9th, from noon until 4 at the Reading City Hall Sculpture Park. Chefs are preparing their finest foods for you to sample with great wines and microbrews. Plus, live entertainment on 3 stages. Get your tickets for food and drink sampling in advance at tasteofreading.org. Sample great food and beverages from local restaurants, wineries, and breweries while listening to The Billies, Bartosh, Hook, Anna J. Band, and Ashley Black. Enjoy fun with the family with face painting and balloon artists. There will be fun for the entire family, so come down to the 17th annual Taste of Reading, Sunday, June 9th, at the Sculpture Park at Reading City Hall. Find the complete list of events and purchase your tickets by visiting us online at tasteofreading.org.
Welcome back. It is the top of the sixth inning here at Tiger Field as Spencer Reif just allowed a walk to the catcher, Nathan Bay, on 4 consecutive pitches. That'll bring up Cam Miramontes, the center fielder, who's batting ninth tonight. It'll be no outs and Bay on first for TKB as Reif looks down and takes his sign. Now he will come set, check back the runner. Here's the pitch. Showing bunt is Miramontes. Now a back pick over to first is going to head out into right field. And Bay heads on over to second easily. So Miramontes was showing bunt but pulled back on an outside fastball. And the catcher, Jorison, fired over to first. But the first baseman, that's Reed Alexander out there, wasn't on the bag, so what would have been probably a relatively decent throw was a little bit high, ends up going into right field, and it allows the catcher, Nathan Bay, to advance on over to second. So it'll be no balls and a strike to Cam Miramontes as Reif comes set. TKB now threatening to score their first run, showing bunt again. This one is going to be bunted right back into the net, and the count will move to no balls and 2 strikes for Miramontes. So, bunt situation probably going to be called off here as he fails to execute twice. It'll be no balls and 2 strikes to the center fielder as he steps up. He's got that lefty-righty advantage here at the plate right now as Nathan Bay takes his lead off of second. Reif looks down and takes his sign from the catcher, Jorison. Now he'll ask for it again. And now time is going to be called by Miramontes, so maybe an attempt to throw off the rhythm of Spencer Reif, who has been really solid here through 5 innings, but now has a runner on second with no outs. The 0-2 pitch on the way, inside breaking ball for ball 1.
And even though that breaking ball missed, you expect Reif to go back here with the breaking pitch. Miramontes probably looking for it, but TKP hasn't really been able to put up hit on it, so we'll see what happens here as Reif comes set, the 2-2 count.
Now the pitch is going to be driven up the middle, fielded by the shortstop Camarena. Runner advances to third. The throw is going to be in time over to first. So a productive out there for TKB as Miramontes grounds out but advances the catcher Nathan Bay over to third. It'll now be Jackson Parmenter, the leadoff hitter, coming up to the plate with one out. And now we're going to have a plate meeting as we've got some activity up in the Colt 45's bullpen. TKB once again threatening to tie the game. They've got Nathan Bay, the catcher, on third base here as the top of the order is coming up in Jackson Parmenter. Sacrifice fly, a weak ground ball in the infield, anything of that nature could score a run. So we'll see what happens here, and we'll see if Parmenter can deliver for TKB. As this meeting at the mound continues, the entire defense collapsed in to talk to our Colt 45's manager, and now they'll head back out. Parmenter is going to step back up to the plate. He was also having a little bit of a conversation with his runner on third and the third base coach as well. So we'll see if they devise any sort of strategy. Jacob, would you expect to see anything like a bunt here in this situation?
I wouldn't expect a bunt, although both the corners are playing a little bit behind the infield grass, maybe looking for some sort of suicide squeeze or something. This is going to take here, ball 1 off the outside edge.
And now a little bit we can see the difference in the defensive strategies of both teams here. When TKB was in the same situation on defense, they had the entire infield collapse to try to get that run. The Colt 45s are going to stay in their normal positions. As you said, the corners are collapsed in a little bit, but the shortstop and second baseman are staying where they're at as Parmenter fouls went off into the parking lot.
And Parmenter hasn't really made any solid contact, so I guess here they just like their chances with the infield and outfield at normal depth.
1-1 count. Here's the pitch. Swung on and once again fouled into the parking lot. Nice breaking ball from Spencer Reif there. Threw off the timing of Parmenter, and now he's got him in a 1-2 count. So Reif has Parmenter pretty much right where he wants him. And we'll see if Reif can get himself out of a jam. He's got one out, runner on third. Here's the pitch. Almost a check swing there, but he didn't quite offer at it as that ball goes in the dirt for ball two. Now home plate umpire will step up and brush off home plate. Parmenter will take a couple of practice hacks, and now he'll step back into the box. Reif looks down, takes his sign from Jorison. Now he'll come set. Here's the pitch. High fastball, ball three. So, after being up in the count, one ball and two strikes, Reif now falls behind. It's a 3-2 count. Parmenter doing a good job of battling here. 3-2 pitch on the way. Swung on and lifted into shallow left center field. It'll be the center fielder under it. He'll make the catch. Throw in is going to be not in time as TKB scores their first run of the game to tie it up here in the bottom of the sixth. So it'll be a 1-1 ball game. A nice job getting to that ball from the center fielder, Colby Raphael, for the Colt 45s. However, he was kind of at a bad angle when he caught it. He was unable to make a solid throw to the plate as the runner, Nathan Bay, scored easily. That'll bring up now Micah Cervantes, the left-handed shortstop, as he sees a fastball in there for strike one. I say left-handed shortstop, I mean the left-handed batting shortstop. He's obviously throwing from the right side. 0-1 pitch now. That one's going to be a little too high for ball one. It'll be a ball and a strike to Cervantes, who's looking to keep things going here for TKB. They've scored one run in the inning. They've got no runners. Here's the pitch. Outside fastball, strike two. Nice pitch on the outside corner there from Reif. You can tell he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder after allowing that run. Now the pitch. Here it is. Swung on and driven on the ground to the shortstop, Camarena. Camarena fields it. Throw to first is in time. Nice play there from the shortstop, Camarena, to get out number three. And Reif will head back into the dugout. Colt 45 will now look to take the lead back as we head into the bottom of the sixth inning. Score is 1-1 here off the sacrifice fly from Jackson Parmenter. Folks, we'll see you in the bottom of the sixth. Remember, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Your vacation, it's over. But the worst part, the long drive home. Fly from Reading Regional Airport instead. Your takeoff and landing are close to home. Enjoy quick check-ins and nonstop flights to and from San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. Book your flight from Reading Regional Airport and you can travel the world with one connection. Skip the long drive. Fly with ease and convenience at Reading Regional Airport.
From the sixth inning here at Tiger Field in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and TKB Baseball Bay Area. It'll be Adrian Leon back out on the mound for his sixth consecutive inning. He's allowed just one run through five innings so far, and he'll look to prevent the Colt 45s from taking the lead here in the bottom of the sixth. Spencer Reif, the pitcher for the Colt 45s, unfortunately let TKB tie up the ball game in the top of the inning with a sacrifice fly.
Now they'll look to take that lead back as Griffith Fenn, who's struck out twice tonight, comes up to the plate. Here's the pitch. And that one's going to be low in the dirt for ball one. Griffith Fenn, who, as we mentioned earlier, was really hot to start off the series against the Rosebuds last weekend. He's been a little bit less aggressive at the plate tonight. As the 1-0 pitch comes in, that's going to be a fastball off the outside corner, ball two. So we'll see if he can come back from his two strikeouts, get a little bit of redemption here, and maybe get something started for the Colt 45s in the bottom of the sixth inning. 2-0 pitch on the way. Swung on and drilled into left field. Unfortunately, the left fielder, Nathan Davison, right under that one for out number one. And that's a really tough pill to swallow for Griffith Fenn. Struggling tonight with those two strikeouts. Finally put some really good wood on the ball. Unfortunately, just a line drive right to the left fielder, Davison, for the out.
Yeah, you hate to see it. Hit on the screws, but absolutely barreled it just right at the left fielder.
So it'll be Carlos Camarena, the designated hitter, up to the plate for the third time. So he watches a breaking ball go by low for ball one. It'll be a 1-0 count now to Camarena. He looks to get things started here for the Colt 45s.
He's singled and flown out tonight, so he's one for two.
1-0 pitch now on the way. Low fastball. It'll be two balls and no strikes to Camarena as he steps back into the box. Now Leon comes set. 2-0 pitch. Here it is. Another breaking ball. Once again, almost in the dirt for ball three. So now Camarena looking like he might get a four-pitch block. We'll see. It'll be a 3-0 count as Leon comes set and now delivers. Here's the pitch. Fastball in there. No, not in there. Sorry. That one was just a little bit high. The home plate umpire signaled to first, and I thought he was signaling strike. So it'll be one out here in the bottom of the sixth inning. Colt 45s get their first base runner of the evening, sorry, of the inning, in Carlos Camarena. And now it'll be Joel Calderon Serrano up to the plate, looking to do some damage with one out and a runner on first. Adrian Leon. Sorry, go ahead, Jacob.
That's just two free passes issued by Leon tonight.
Here comes the pitch. That's going to be another breaking ball. And it'll be in there for strike one. As Camarena takes his lead off first, Calderon Serrano steps back in the box. 0-1 count now as Leon comes set and delivers. Another breaking ball in there for strike two. That was right there at the top of the zone. And some of these Colt 45s fans expressing their displeasure with that call. It'll be no balls and two strikes as Camarena once again takes his lead off of first. Leon comes set. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball shot down the third baseline. Foul, unfortunately. And Calderon really turned on that one. If that had been fair, definitely would have been trouble for TKB. Luckily, it goes just foul for him. So it'll be no balls and two strikes still to Joel Calderon Serrano. Here's the 0-2 pitch. That one's going to be fouled off into the parking lot. That one was getting a little close to my truck out there, but I don't think it hit any of the cars. So it'll be no balls and two strikes again with Carlos Camarena leading off of first and one out here in the bottom of the sixth inning. Looking to break this tie. It's a 1-1 ball game. Here's the pitch. High fastball for ball one. So now the count will turn to a ball and two strikes as Calderon continues to battle here. Leon will look down and take his sign. Now he'll come set. Leading off first is Camarena. Here it is. Swung on and driven high into shallow left field. Three fielders converging, and it will fall for a base hit. Nice job there from Joel Calderon, just putting that one out into no man's land. As the second baseman, Kelton, was the closest fielder to the ball, but just running out there, wasn't able to keep his eyes on it as it drops.
And Kelton there looked like he almost let the ball drop as it was Camarena, Carlos Camarena, was in between first and second, so they would have gotten the force at second, but didn't quite make the throw in time.
Yeah, and that was some good base running from Camarena, knowing exactly where he needed to be on that shallow fly ball, and it allows Calderon to get himself a base knock. So it'll be Julio Camarena now, the shortstop up to the plate. Again, one out. Adrian Leon looking for a double play ball here. I would expect to see a lot of pitches low in the zone. Here it comes. That one's going to be in the dirt, a little too low for ball one, so it'll be a ball and no strikes to Julio Camarena. As Leon steps back on the rubber, looks down, takes his sign. Now the 2-0 pitch, here it is. Swung on and driven high into center field. Miramontes will get under it. He's going to make the catch, and the throw in will not be in time. Second baseman Kelton cuts it off. So the runner at second, Camarena, will advance on over to third. Holding up at first is Calderon. So it'll be a sacrifice fly for Julio Camarena, the shortstop, as he moves his brother on over to third. Now with two outs and runners at the corners, that'll bring up Reed Alexander to the plate, as Adrian Leon has a chance to get himself out of a jam here with runners at the corners. Here's the pitch. Outside fastball. Little too far outside of the strike zone. It'll be ball one as Alexander steps back in. It'll be interesting to see if they try to send Calderon, the second baseman, here. Leon comes set. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply to the first baseman. He's going to bobble it, but pick it up and bring it on over to first for out number three. Nice job staying with that ball by Jonathan Wright, and that'll bring us to the top of the seventh inning. Colt 45s fail to break up the tie and execute with runners at the corners. So now it'll be up to TKB, see if they can break up this tie. So we head into the top of the seventh inning. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 Baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 Baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
I'm Scott Schaffner, proud member of Reading West Rotary. Dignity Health and Reading West Rotary present the 17th Annual Taste of Reading 2024, Sunday, June 9th, from noon until 4 at the Reading City Hall Sculpture Park. Chefs are preparing their finest foods for you to sample with great wines and microbrews. Plus, live entertainment on three stages. Get your tickets for food and drink sampling in advance at tasteofreading.org. Sample great food and beverages from local restaurants, wineries, and breweries while listening to The Billies, Bartosz, Hook, Anna J. Band, and Ashley Black. Enjoy fun with the family with face painting and balloon artists. There will be fun for the entire family, so come down to the 17th Annual Taste of Reading, Sunday, June 9th, at the Sculpture Park at Reading City Hall. Find the complete list of events and purchase your tickets by visiting us online at tasteofreading.org.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. It's the top of the seventh. We're all knotted at 1-1. A new pitcher for the Colt 45s is going to be Reese Fairweather, the sophomore, the left-handed pitcher, standing at 6'4 from Australia, pitched at Feather River College. Spencer Rice tonight is done after six innings pitched. Two hits, only giving up one run, walking one, and having seven strikeouts. Leading off the seventh inning for TKB is going to be the left fielder Nathan Davison, digging in from the right sides.
Jacob, I'm not sure how I feel about taking out Rife just here in the seventh inning. He's only allowed one run, but I will say Reese Fairweather has been really solid for the Colt 45, so he's a pretty safe bet out here on the mound as he delivers a curveball a little too far inside.
That's going to be ball one. And yeah, Fairweather pitched two innings of relief, I believe it was on opening night of scoreless baseball, so we'll see what he does here in a knotted up game, 1-1. The tall, lengthy left-hander, here's the pitch. It's going to be in the dirt for ball two. 2-0 count now on Davison, the left fielder for TKB. And Fairweather, lengthy southpaw, as I said, from the first base side of the rubber. Peering in at this catcher, Here's the pitch. That one's fouled back to the screen. 2-1 count now. So we'll see what Fairweather does to keep this game tied up. The wind dying down here at Tiger Field, so we'll see if there's some more balls hit in the air. Hopefully not for TKB. Here's the pitch. It's going to be off the plate, outside and in the dirt. 3-1 count. So three balls and one strike. Fairweather taking a bit of a breather, looking to settle in here. As Davidson looking to put TKB on top and undo this knotted up game at 1-1. Here's the pitch from Fairweather. Swung on in the air toward right field. Went to break back and now breaks in. Second baseman coming out, and it's going to be the right fielder, Reed Alexander, making the catch.
I believe that was Griffith Fenn.
Or Griffith Fenn, rather. Patrolling right field. Yeah, thank you, Austin. The second baseman was going out, converging.
It's hard to keep track of all these players. All they've got is a number on their back.
Yeah, we have no names to work with, but doing our best, which is why it's great to have a second pair of eyes. As it'll be Dominic Nakagawa, the third baseman for TKB, digging in against Fairweather. Here's the first pitch. Curveball just off the plate outside for ball one. And Nakagawa tonight has grounded out and struck out looking. So looking to get a hit and get on for TKB here as Fairweather comes out again, delivers. That one's fouled back to the screen. Count all even now at 1-1. As Nakagawa steps out of the box, takes a practice swing. Fairweather breathes in deep, trying to get some air in those lungs. Peers into his catcher, gets the sign, delivers. Another curveball waved at and missed.
That was a great breaking ball from Fairweather. One of the best we've seen tonight, as he had Nakagawa completely fooled.
Yeah, Nakagawa way off there. Here's the 1-2. Fouled off. Looked to be off the catcher's mitt and then off his mask. So the count stays at 1-2. Nakagawa is still a little bit off with his timing. And I spoke too soon about the wind here as it's blowing our game notes all over the place. But
yeah, and he barely nicked that one. So he's lucky to still be alive here in this 1-2 count. We'll see if Fairweather goes back to the breaking ball here.
Here's the 1-2. Waved at in the dirt. Catcher clears, throws down to first. Two gone here in the top of the seventh inning.
So he did indeed go back to that breaking ball. And once again, that one in the dirt, just no chance for Nakagawa. As he, like you said, Jacob, just waved at it. No chance to even make any sort of contact with the ball. Nice pitch from Fairweather to sit down his second of the inning.
That'll bring Noel Aquino, the designated hitter from the right side, to the plate. Here's the pitch from Fairweather. It's going to be low and outside. Goes back to the heater on that one. 1-0 now. And yeah, Fairweather's breaking ball tonight has been already, we've seen it a few times, and he's gotten waves at and misses both times. Here's another breaking pitch. That one catches the corner just on the outside edge. 1-1 count now as Aquino still yet to wave his wood. Here's the pitch from Fairweather. That one's lined with the third base coach ducking his head, trying to avoid that one.
That was a really hard hit ball. Just goes foul as Aquino really turned on it.
And Aquino in his last AB gave one a ride, but it found center fielder's glove. Here's a pitch from Fairweather. In the dirt, off the plate, ball two. Count 2-2 now. Aquino digs back in. Fairweather peering in, delivers. Curveball in there for a strike. Caught him looking. Aquino just window shopping. He doesn't want to buy anything. That'll retire the side, and it's time to stretch here at Tiger Field. Tonight's Colt 45 sponsor, North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. North Valley Distributing, 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of your Reading Colt 45's baseball.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communications, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
The Drop here. I recently confronted the sneaky villain, Hydro Shadow. He created a robot that looked like me, and then he activated the robot. But I was able to push the self-destruct button to defeat this inferior threat. If you would like the great taste that can't be imitated delivered to your door, give us a call at 1-800-922-6227. That's 1-800-922-6227. Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta Springwater.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Room 101, 14th anniversary. Do you enjoy bold, aggressive cigar profiles? Well, this stick is not for the faint of heart or palate. AJ Fernandez has packed a wallop of a smoke. Get ready, folks. This cigar is a knockout. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field. It's the bottom of the seventh, all knotted up at 1-1. We have a new arm on the mound for TKB, the right-hander. It'll be Jackson Parmenter, who was playing right field. And as soon as we figure out who's out there now in right field for TKB, we'll get you a name. But Jackson Parmenter will come on in relief of Adrian Leone, who gave up one run and five hits in six innings pitched. He struck out, I think, four. Colt 45, so we'll see what Parmenter does here against the Colt 45s with Brandon Zanny leading things off in the bottom of half of the seventh.
And it'll be interesting to see a position player coming in late in the game in kind of a clutch situation. Game is tied 1-1 here in the bottom of the seventh. You know, Parmenter's probably a little bit tired from playing the entire game in right field already. We'll see if his arm is still fresh as he's going to face a tough Colt 45s lineup here.
And the Cool 45 is here just looking to undo the tie, as we've seen now for about an inning and a half of baseball. So Zanny, the hard hitter from the right side, playing the hot corner tonight, third base over there, digs in. Slightly open stance, knees bent. Here's the first pitch from Parmenter. That's going to be upstairs for ball one. And Zanny, just a couple games ago, had a home run, a double, and a single. So looking to get his first hit of the night here. He's grounded out twice. Here's the second pitch from Parmenter. That's going to be right through the heart for strike one. Counts all even at 1-1.
Yeah, and Zanny so far is the only player through 4 2/3 games to have a home run for the Colt 45s.
Here's a 1-1. Curveball misses inside. 2-1 now, rather. As Parmenter looks to get the first out of the inning. It's the bottom of the seventh. 1-1. Here's the pitch from Parmenter. That's going to be over the plate and in there. 2-2 now. Fastball that just was above the knee. Parmenter peering in. Delivers. Here's the 2-2. That's upstairs. Misses. Full count now on Zanny. He has yet to swing the bat. He's taken all five pitches.
Shown some great discipline out there, but eventually he will need to bring the bat off his shoulder.
Here's the payoff. That's going to miss, and Zanny works a walk, so the plate discipline works for Zanny, and that's going to bring up Carter Jorison. He's also grounded out twice tonight, looking to put a ball in play here with Zanny on first, who's going to get a courtesy runner, and that looks to be our friend Dusty Vila, the courtesy runner for Zanny.
And now it looks like they're making an adjustment on the lineup. So I don't think that's a courtesy runner. I think that's actually a pinch runner.
Right.
So looks like they'll be making a defensive replacement there for Zanny as well. So that is likely the last time we'll see him in this game as Jorison, the catcher, comes up to the plate.
I'm with Carter Jorison. He's grounded out twice. You don't want to hit into a double play here, so I imagine Vila will be set in motion to go and see if they can swipe a bag here. As Parmenter now is going to be pitching out of the stretch. Checks the runner back. Delivers. That's high for ball one.
Remember, folks, you're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
1-0 count here on Jorison, the catcher. Getting his first start tonight behind the dish. Parmenter checks the runner back at first. Gets a sign. Out of the stretch. Here's the 1-0. Check swing. Didn't go. The catcher comes out of his squat. He was almost going to throw down a back pick, but Ely gets back to the bag. Counts all even here at 1-1. Again, that's Jorison from the right side. Knees slightly bent, wide open stance. Parmenter checks the runner back at first. That's Vila. Pinch ran for Zanny. Jorison comes around to bunt. Going all the way, there's a throw down to first, but Vila's back to the bag in time. And Jorison there just looking to catch TKB off balance as he got the third baseman to charge in on that when he showed bunt before Parmenter even really started his delivery. So a 2-1 count now. Vila taking his lead from first. Parmenter checks the runner back. Jorison showing bunt. Here's the pitch. He's going to be swinging, and it's going to be grounded to the second baseman. Tags the runner out and throws over to first, and the first baseman misses it, and it actually goes, looks to be off of his face.
Yeah, and that umpire at second base actually signals safe. So the second baseman, that's Kelton, missed the tag and then threw on over to first. It's a new first baseman, Zach Armenta, out there who just straight up dropped the ball out of his glove. Really, I don't know what happened there, Jacob. That was almost pitiful, I'd have to say. You know, I hate to use that word. But really a rough play, as it was a nice throw from Kelton. But what should have been really a double play for TKB ends up with no outs and runners on first and second for the Colt 45s, as now Jackson Parmenter will have to try to get himself out of a jam.
So the infield back at normal depth. They're looking for a double play here with the corners coming in a little bit. Mason Cassingham is the courtesy runner for Jorison, who reached on that. And, yeah, the second baseman was not able to tag out the runner Vila. So now Parmenter's going to have to work with runners on first and second taking their leads, not being held on. Here's the pitch from Parmenter. Shows bunt, but takes all the way. So, again, runners at first and second. Colby Rafael, the center fielder, got the top of the order. He's reached twice and flown out in the first inning, so he's 2-for-3 tonight with a 1-0 count. In the top of the seventh of a 1-1 game, here's the pitch from Parmenter. It's going to be low and blocked by the catcher, who looked to be throwing down to second, but the pitcher reaches up and knocks it down.
Yeah, he seemed to just like deflect the throw down from the catcher. Maybe he was scared of that one going out in the outfield. Either way, TKB seems kind of frazzled here, especially Parmenter, who's down 2-0 in this count, and his confidence, you can tell, has just been affected by the past couple of plays.
And they're playing Rafael to kind of push the ball, not really pull it, with the shortstop holding on the runner over there at second. Parmenter checks the runner's back. Here's the pitch. And Rafael there comes around to bunt again, but pulls back just in time. The count goes 3-0.
And I got to say, as a pitcher, Parmenter out there, when you've got a batter showing bunt like that, you've just got to pitch to contact. You've got to let him lay down the bunt. Pitching around him like this is only going to put another runner on without getting it out as he goes down 3-0.
Here's the 3-0 pitch to Rafael. That's going to be in there for a strike. Throws the heater. Rafael not throwing bunt. Seems like the bunt was just to throw off the defense, but we'll see what happens here. With a 3-1 count in Braxton Riley, so another speedster, is on deck. TKB still with no outs. Runners on first and second. They take their leads. Infielder's playing behind him now. Here's the pitch. Rafael around to bunt again. He takes. That's ball four. He's going to get the free pass. That advances everyone another 90 feet.
And like I was saying, Jacob, Parmenter out there, when you got a guy showing bunt like that, take the Forsher out. Because even if he advances those runners to second and third, you get that out at first, most likely, on a sacrifice. And then you can intentionally walk this next batter, Braxton Riley, who you wouldn't even want to be up at the plate in this situation. And now you've got one out, bases loaded, instead of no outs, bases loaded. So a rough situation from Parmenter after he pitches around Rafael.
Exactly. Now they're going to have the infield in. Here's the first pitch. That one's fouled back to the screen. So one strike on Braxton Riley now. He's blown out, struck out, and reached first base on an infield single and then stole second. So with a 0-1 count, looking to do some damage for the Colt 45s and break this tie. Parmenter peers in. Not having to pitch out of the stretch now. Here's the pitch. It's going to be in the dirt, blocked by the catcher. He's going to have to buy him a beer after this game. 1-1 count now, although he might be underage, so maybe something like a soda pop. But
and now I bet that TKB manager is probably regretting his decision to take Leon out of the game. Parmenter is just really struggling here in the bottom of the seventh inning. Still no outs. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Again, low. And now that one's going to get away from the catcher. Back to the backstop. Coming in to score is Dusty Vila. Colt 45s go up 2-1. And now we've got runners at second and third. Nobody at first with still no outs. And Braxton Riley facing a 2-1 count. So all of the odds in the Colt 45's favor right now as Parmenter's woes on the mound continue.
And now it's 2-1. Colt 45's no outs. Runners on second and third. Braxton Riley digging in. It's a 2-1 count. Here's the pitch from Parmenter. It's going to be off the plate outside. 3-1 count.
Parmenter now looks at risk of giving up his second consecutive walk.
And that walk and those pass balls being a thorn in the side of TKB as infield's still in. That one's going to get past the catcher. And the pitcher stumbles as he goes to cover home, and the run comes home. It's 3-1, Colt 45s now. As the game's starting to get out of hand for TKB, Colt 45's up 3-1. Braxton Riley reaches first on that walk. So runners at the corners, still no outs. The infield will go to double play depth and surrender the run just to get the two outs.
And Jacob, what have we said kills baseball games? We said it last night. Walks and errors. And we've seen two walks in this inning and two errors now as two runs have come in to score and things just are falling apart for TKB.
Yeah, and all those free passes and the 390 feet as the third baseman is going to play in on the grass here at Tiger Field. The catcher's going to go out and give some defensive signs as the lights have taken full effect here at Tiger Field. But again, the middle infielder is pinching up the middle looking to turn a double play. They'll surrender the run just to get the two outs. Colt 45's up 3-1 in the bottom half of the seventh. Griffin Finn digging in from the left side. He's 0-for-3 tonight with two Ks and a flyout. Here's the pitch from Parmenter. That's in the air, right to center field. It's going to find some grass and squeeze past the center fielder. Braxton Riley around third. He's going to score. And in the second is Colby Rafael. Griffin Finn, rather, with a double that was going to be a single. It's 5-1. The Colt 45's on top. They've blown this game wide open here in the bottom half of the seventh.
Yeah, so it went from a 1-1 ball game to a 5-1 ball game here in the bottom of the seventh. Now, Jacob, and that's largely part to the walks and errors that we've seen. There's another error out there in center field that allows another run to come across. And TKB is just floundering out there. They do not look like they know what to do with themselves. And Parmenter really struggling on the mound, and his defense really struggling behind him. They have given him no support, as Colt 45s, like you said, have just run away with it.
That's going to bring Carlos Camarena to the plate. The DH tonight, he caught last night, so giving his legs a break. Knees bent, slightly open stance. Runner in scoring position. Still no outs. Here's the pitch from Parmenter. That's going to be in there for a strike. A fastball right through the heart. As it's a 5-1 ball game here. Colt 45 has really blown the door off. Parmenter comes set. Here's the 0-1. He throws back to second, and the pitcher slips on the mound. Throw goes into center field. They'll throw it in to second base, and there's yet another error as a free 90 feet for Griffith Fenn. So
and things are just looking so ugly for TKB out here on defense. They look so strong through six innings, but now here in the bottom of the seventh, they have just fallen apart. There's no other way to say it.
They've come unraveled. There's a swing and a miss from Griffith. Carlos Camarena, rather. He's in an 0-2 hole, but that fifth run of the inning only 90 feet away.
Now, there's one positive for the pitcher here, and that is he has nothing left to lose. So he can really just attack this batter as the 0-2 pitch comes in. And that one's going to be driven up the middle. Nice diving play from the shortstop, Cervantes. Throw over to first is in time. And that'll be an RBI ground out as the score moves to 6-1. Carlos Camarena, nice piece of contact there. A really great defensive effort from the shortstop, Cervantes. He has been the one highlight of this DKB ball club tonight.
Yeah, he was lights out just like the starting pitcher, Leon, tonight. Moving to his left and smothering that ground ball, really getting on top of it, then pop back up to make a throw to first. Here's Parment at the first pitch to Calderon. The second baseman is fouled back to the screen. It's an 0-1 count now on Calderon. And the shortstop for TKB doing just a fantastic job tonight. He's been all over to his left, to his right, covering throwdowns to second base. Just a spectacular night on defense. And here at Tiger Field, the wind's actually died down a little bit. It's just small gusts. Here's the second pitch from Parmenter. Curveball is going to be upstairs for ball one. The count's all even now at 1-1. Calderon, slightly open stance from the right side, wiggles his bat. Parmenter comes set, delivers. That one's fouled toward the on-deck circle and caught by Julio Camarena, the quick-handed shortstop who catches it and pretends to sign it before tossing it back to the dugout. So, great play there by the shortstop in the on-deck circle. 1-2 count. Here's the pitch from Parmenter. That's in the dirt for ball two. Counts will even now at 2-2. Again, that's Julio Camarena on deck. One out here in the bottom half of the seventh. 6-1, Colt 45's on top. Here's the 2-2. Curveball, swing and a miss. He struck him out. Two gone here for the Colt 45s with Julio Camarena, the shortstop, coming to the plate. Calderon struck out on a nice off-speed pitch from Parmenter. Nothing you can do there. Got him to wave at it. And here's the first pitch to Camarena, who's taking all the way, and that one's going to be low for ball one. 1-0 count. Parmenter checks in, gets his signs from the catcher, delivers. Fastball just on the outside corner, 1-1 count. Great pitch there by Parmenter, dotting up the outside corner and painting the black. Here's the 1-1. Curveball grounded up the middle toward the shortstop. Makes the play on over to first. 6-3 on the play. Another fantastic play by Cervantes at shortstop. That'll retire the side at 6-1. Colt 45s after 7. Tonight's Colt 45 sponsor, North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of your Reading Colt 45s baseball.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. Colt 45s lead TKB Baseball Bay Area. The score is 6-1 as we're going to have a new arm out on the mound. It looks like it's going to be Brandon Boyer, the short left-handed pitcher up there on the bump. And this will be his first appearance for the Colt 45s as he comes in to relieve. Reese Fairweather was the pitcher last inning, had a nice shutout inning in relief of Spencer Rife, and now Bolero will look to get the job done in his first appearance for the Colt 45s. And I gotta tell you, as he comes out, his velocity warming up is looking really good on that fastball, Jacob.
Yeah, Bolero full error, sorry, from Palomar Junior College in Elsinore, California, 5'10", 155, up on that hill. Another southpaw for the Colt 45s from the left side.
And
his throws in.
He'll face off against Zach Armenta. Armenta had a crucial error last inning when TKB was looking to get their first out. He dropped a throw that was right in his glove at first base to lose an out for TKB. And that ended up to be pretty consequential for that ball club as they kind of spiraled into terrible something. I don't even know how to describe it, but they committed a lot of errors, allowed a lot of walks, and gave up five runs to the Colt 45s. So Armenta will look to get himself a little bit of redemption as he steps up here to the plate. Bolero looking to hold TKB and keep that five-run lead for the Colt 45s, as now Armenta is going to tighten his batting gloves and then step on into that left-handed batter's box.
And the defensive replacements, it's going to be Vila at second base, which moves Calderon to third after Vila came and pinch ran for Brandon Zanny, who was over there at third.
Now the pitch. Inside on the hands of Armenta, and that'll be a hit by pitch. Maybe not. Yes, no, maybe so. It might have been a foul ball. It was a foul ball. No, yes. Sorry, folks, I'm having a hard time figuring out if Armenta's taking off his gear or putting it back on. He's putting it back on. So he thought it was a hit by pitch, but it actually nicked off the bottom of the bat handle. So it'll be an 0-1 count as Armenta now swings and misses on a high fastball from Bolero. I don't even know how to pronounce that name.
Bolero, something like that.
Something like that.
Huge cut and a miss from Armenta.
0-2 pitch, curveball, outside corner just misses. It'll be a ball and two strikes now to Armenta, who does not seem like he's been ready for this velocity coming out of Bolero. 1-2 pitch on the way. Fastball, outside corner, strike three called. Nice pitch from Bolero to start off his season with a strikeout. So already looking strong out here on the bump as JoJo Keldson will come up to the plate. It'll be his first time facing off against Bolero.
And there it is again. Armenta just window shopping, not looking to buy, just looking.
And Kelton's going to take a fastball right at the bottom of the zone for strike one. 0-1 count now quickly. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed in the dirt. Another fastball. And you could tell that was a swing of desperation. That ball was nowhere near the strike zone. But Kelton just looking to put the ball in play with a desperation swing. 0-2 pitch now from Bolero on the way. Swing and a miss, strike three. So two quick strikeouts from the short lefty Bolero as he'll get the ball back from his third baseman and step back up on the rubber. And he's looking really solid up there on the mound for the Colt 45s. It'll be number eight, Dyer, who is in the game now. This will be Dyer's first step out of the game. He played the entire game behind the plate as he sees a fastball on the inside corner for strike one. And I got to say, I'm really impressed by Bolero's velocity on that fastball here. TKB is not ready for it. 0-1 pitch, here it is. Swung on and fouled back this time. But as I was saying, Dyer caught all nine innings last night, was not in the lineup tonight, but now looks to be either pinch hitting or just in the game for Nathan Bay. Here's the pitch. Strike three called on the outside corner. So in a phenomenal inning of relief, Bolero strikes out the side and holds the five-run lead for the Colt 45s as we head in to the bottom of the eighth inning. Colt 45s will look to extend that five-run lead. And remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of a Reading Colt 45s baseball.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Starting March 12th, every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
In California, tonight's sponsor, North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of your Redding Colt 45s. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. Again, 3081 Crossroads Drive. It's going to be Parmenter back out there for TKB. As he concludes his warm-up tosses, it'll be Reed Alexander digging in. The first baseman, he's the only batter to not come up last inning in a 5-run inning, which gave the Colt 45s a 6-1 lead after we were all knotted at 1-1 for a few innings, a couple of innings. But
Parmenter really struggled last inning. He put up a couple of walks and allowed a few runs, but really the thing to talk about is his defense behind him. There were at least three errors committed in the inning that allowed to, or that led to those 5 runs as he comes set and delivers. Now showing bunt is Alexander, and he'll bunt that one foul back to the net. But as I was saying, just a really tough inning of work for Parmenter last inning, and so I'm a little bit surprised that he's back down here, but we'll see if he can kind of bring it together and if the defense can bring it together as well.
And now an 0-1 count on Alexander after showing bunt. Parmenter delivers. Here it is. That's going to be up in the zone for strike two, 0-2 count. Nice pitch there from Parmenter. Heater up in the zone, shakes off his catcher once, twice. Agrees, comes set, and delivers. Swung on in the air toward left field. Fair foul. It's going to be fair and into the corner. Reed Alexander's going to round first, but the left fielder does a great job of getting to it and throws it back in to hold Alexander to a long single. So that will bring Dusty Vila to the plate. Take that back. It's going to be,
I believe that's still Colby Rafael, if I'm correct.
Yeah, that's still Colby Rafael, but he's going to dig in. Runner takes his lead from first.
Long fly ball out there into deep right field. At the wall and off the wall goes the ball. And it was Dusty Vila up at the plate, and he's going to go into second with a double. It was a nice deep fly ball. It looked like whoever was in right field for TKB, we don't know after Parmenter came out, but whoever was out there looked like he had gotten under it, but it just went right over his glove and deflected off the wall. So a double puts runners at second and third for the Colt 45s. As Jorison, the catcher, comes up to the plate.
And the wind has died down, but with the lights here on full effect, kind of looking up into the lights where that ball was, it's going to be Jorison digging in from the right side. As a curveball misses the zone up top, 1-0 on Jorison. So runners at second and third. Again, the Colt 45's up 6-1 here in the bottom of the eighth with no outs. Parmenter comes set and delivers. That's going to be laced over the first baseman's head toward right field. It's going to score one around first, and around third it's going to score two. The Colt 45 is on top 8-1 on that single from Jorison, who took a hard turn at first but made it back first just in time as the throw came in.
That was a really nice piece of contact from Jorison. Just went with that fastball outside, sliced it out into right field for a base hit that scored two runs. And now Parmenter's blows on the mound continue. And you got to wonder how long his manager is just going to let him struggle out there.
And there's no activity up in the bullpen for TKB, now in an 8-1 ball game with the runner on first. Both middle infielders pinching toward the middle, looking to turn a double play, as Cassingham was a courtesy run over there for the catcher with top of the order Colby Rafael fouling one off into the parking lot over the dugout of TKB for strike number one. So Jorison with the 2 RBI single got the courtesy runner. Mason Cassingham over there at first, who might be in motion here, looking to avoid the double play as Parmenter comes set out of the stretch. Here's the 0-1. That's in the dirt.
blocked by the catcher. It's going to go in front of him, but skirts away. That'll advance the runner another 90 feet, so no pass ball, but still, Cassingham with the speed able to advance.
Yeah, that was a pretty poor effort from the catcher. I'm not sure if that's still Nathan Bay back there or if he's been replaced by Kyle Dyer, but either way, pretty poor effort. He just kind of stuck his glove out in there, kept it in front, but it skirted off and allowed the runner to advance as the pitch comes in. This one in the dirt, a much better block effort on that one as it'll be ball two, so two balls and a strike.
And that's where that need to get over the ball and get your chest protector on top of it at a 45-degree angle to knock it down comes in really handy as the 2-1 pitch comes in from Parmenter. It's going to be low. The frame job by the catcher is not quite good enough, so the count will move to 3-1. With Cassingham over there dancing off the bag at second. And an 8-1 ball game. Parmenter comes set. 3-1 pitch. Fastball just off the outside edge. It's going to walk him and bring Braxton Riley to the plate. So 2-on, no outs for TKB. With Braxton Riley, the left fielder, up to bat now.
They're in desperate need of an out here. They've already given up 2 runs in this inning off of 5 runs in the bottom of last inning. And Braxton Riley, a serious threat at the plate. So we'll see if TKB can come up with some clutch outs here.
He's 1-for-3 tonight with a walk. As he watches a curveball all the way, that's going to be in there for strike one. So Riley's seen a lot of the breaking ball tonight, but he's been able to hit it a couple of times, showing excellent plate discipline as well. As we get some gusty wind here, see how that affects the fielders, but Parmenter comes ahead, delivers. That's a broken bat, grounded towards the second baseman, is going to move over to his right and throw it at first. So, a productive out. Advances the runners another 90 feet. So, runners on second and third now with one out. A little jam shot in on the hands. He went the opposite way with it, and Colby Rafael, rather, had a slow down running to second just to avoid getting hit by that ball, so he didn't get out. As Griffith Finn comes to the plate for the Colt 45s. Here's the first pitch. Curveball upstairs for ball one.
Yeah, and Parmenter probably just happy to get an out with that pitch. And honestly, if I'm in this situation, I'm probably giving an intentional walk to Griffith Finn, who I know is a dangerous batter, to get ourselves a force out. As Finn launches one into deep left field, coming in is going to be the left fielder who will make the catch. Throw into home is not in time. It's going to be cut off by the third baseman who tries to go over to third. But that throw will not be in time. So it'll be a sacrifice fly for Griffith Fenn. Nice piece of contact there. And the left fielder, Davison, kind of looked like he was struggling to see the ball as he came under that one. Kind of made a shoestring catch even though he was under it and did not put himself in a good position to throw out the runner at home. So they'll get 2 outs but allow another run to score. So it'll be a 9-1 ball game as Carlos Camarena, the designated hitter, comes up to the plate.
That's one of those plays where you have to get behind the ball and take a couple steps into it before throwing. As the pitch comes in for Parmenter, is going to be up in the zone for strike one. And the left fielder for TKB like you said, couldn't seem to get under it and really track that ball well to come charging in on it, glove it with 2 hands, and then make the throw toward home. That one's going to be low for ball one, rather. 1-1 count. Back-to-back fastballs from Parmenter against the designated hitter, Carlos Camarena. Parmenter comes set, delivers. Curveball just misses out of the zone. 2-1 over the plate, but a little high. 2-1 count now. Runner at third. 2 outs. Here's the pitch from Parmenter. Fastball fouled off over the crowd and into the parking lot. See if it hits a car. I'm unsure, but no loud noises. So the count will even all up now at 2-2 after that foul ball. Camarena a little bit late on it. Parmenter comes set, delivers. Fastball just misses a little bit high, maybe off the corner. Full count now. We'll see the payoff pitch here. As the runner takes his lead from third. Slightly open stance from the right-handed batter's box. Knees bent. Here's the pitch from Parmenter. Fastball almost hit him. He's going to get a free pass. Runners at the corners now. Parmenter has had a rough outing. He's given up 8 runs in 2 innings of work. And 1 and 2-thirds innings of work, rather.
he's faced the order almost two times, which is a little bit less than what the starting pitcher Adrian Leone did, but it'll now be Calderon digging in after that free pass was awarded. Here's the pitch from Parmenter. He's pitching out a stretch. Fastball's in there for strike one. And Calderon now has moved over to third base after Zanny was pinch ran for by Dusty Vila. So 0-1 count. Runners take their leads. Pitch from Parmenter. Curveball is going to be fouled off back over the screen, over the crowd, and into the parking lot. 0-2 count. Parmenter gets a new baseball, rubs it up a little bit. Calderon looking to extend the inning for the Colt 45s, tack on a little more insurance in this 9-1 ball game. Parmenter checks the runner back at first. Peers in to get a sign, comes set. The pitch. It's going to be low and blocked by the catcher. Keeps it in front of him and then skirts away, but quickly recovers. 1-2 count now after that ball. Calderon steps out, takes a little breather, taps the plate with his bat, adjusts his helmet. Parmenter checks the runner back. Comes set. Peers in. Out of the stretch. Here it is. Curveball fouled off again. We're going to do it one more time. Calderon just can't seem to get his timing right on that breaking ball. As the umpire asks for some more baseballs, for Calderon is fouled off two now. So Parmenter taking his time, rubs up the ball again, climbs back up on the hill from the first base side of the rubber, bends down, peers in at his catcher. Checks the runner back. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled over the dugout. Fouled off again. Backed at the heater. Calderon just staying alive, protecting the plate.
And he's doing a good job of battling here. Remember, folks, tomorrow night we've got another game. It'll be at 6 p.m., so come on down to Tiger Field or tune in once again to KCNR. We'll be broadcasting it. Should be another great game between Colt 45s and TKB.
Here's the 1-2. Fastball fouled off again, right off the catcher, actually. So the count stays at 1-2. Again, we're in the bottom of the eighth inning. It's 9-1. The Colt 45s in these last two innings have tacked on 8 runs to break the 1-1 tie that we were all knotted up in. Calderon digging in from the right side. Slightly open stance, knees bent. Runners take their leads from first and second. Parmenter, here's the pitch. Fastball, just a little low. Great take there by Calderon. Calderon looking for that breaking pitch yet again that he's fouled off now 4 times. So, count's all even here at 2-2. There's 2 outs. Calderon waving the bat. Now readies. Parmenter comes out, delivers. That's going to be low. And Calderon thought he had a walk, but he lost track of the count, as so did the runner on first. That's Griffith Finn over there. Sorry. Carlos Camarena over there at first, who went to run to second, but realized it wasn't a walk. So, full count. Calderon's going to call time just to regather himself, reacquaint himself with the pitch count, as it's 3-2, all full. See the payoff pitch here. Camarena leads from first, and Rafael leads from third. Here's the pitch from Parmenter with the runner going, and he's going to take low. So indifference there as Calderon works a walk after that bat at bat. And what a battle put up there by Calderon to work the walk. As we're going to see the ninth batter of the inning, Julio Camarena, the shortstop, with the bases juiced. Colt 45s have already blown the game wide open. They're up by 8, but have a chance to do even more damage now in a 9-1 ball game. As he digs in from the right side, knees bent, slightly open stance, pitch from Parmenter is a fastball. It's going to miss low for ball one.
And Parmenter just continuing to struggle finding the zone. His fastball is just not really anywhere near as he delivers the 1-0 pitch. That one, this time, is going to catch the outside corner for strike one, but he's given up a lot of walks in his two innings so far.
He's had a rough outing here. Two innings, giving up 8 runs and lots of walks. Here's the pitch. That's in the air towards left field. Left fielder's back just in front of the track. He's going to camp under it, drifting back, and he makes the catch
for the third out. That'll retire the side. It's 9-1. The Colt 45's on top. We're going to head to the ninth looking to close it out. Tonight's Colt 45 sponsor, North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of your Reading Colt 45s.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field. It's gonna be Blair back out there to close out this game. He struck out the side in the last half. We're here in the top of the night. The lights have taken full effect. Beautiful night here at Tiger Field as it's cooled off and the winds died off. Blair, taking his final warm-up tosses, looking to retire TKB to keep the winning streak alive for the Colt 45s as they've had two spectacular games back-to-back here at Tiger Field.
Yeah, and TKB, they've got some pretty rough odds here, facing an 8-run deficit. I don't want to call it insurmountable, but it's kind of looking that way here in the top of the ninth inning, especially with Valera back up on the mound. He struck out the side against TKB in the top of the eighth, and I got to imagine it's going to be more of the same here in the top of the ninth inning. This TKB lineup just not able to produce a lot of offense in last night's game or tonight's game. Remember, Eric Winchester struck out 12 in his no-hit effort last night against TKB, and now they've scored just one run tonight. So one run in two games, not a great look for this TKB lineup, but they'll look to put at least a couple more up on the board, make this game a little bit more dignified, as it's going to be Cam Miramontes into the box for TKB.
And TKB tonight has struck out 13 times. So my scorecard tonight is absolutely littered with backward and forward facing K's. Spiller appears in at his catcher. Spiller looking to close it out here. And like you said, the odds, not insurmountable, but highly unlikely in a 8-run deficit here for TKB. But it will be Miramontes, the center fielder. And last night's relief pitcher for TKB coming to the plate from the left side.
So it'll be a lefty-on-lefty matchup with Blair versus Miramontes as Blair sets up and delivers. Showing bunt, but pulling back, it'll be a called strike anyway. So an 0-1 count to start off Miramontes from Blair. Now he'll set up and wind up. Off-speed pitch, barely misses the top of the zone there. So it'll be a 1-1 count off the high breaking ball to Miramontes as Blair once again sets up. 1-1 pitch on the way. High fastball, swung on and missed. Miramontes went chasing after that one, couldn't catch it. It'll be a ball and two strikes now as Blair looking his fourth strikeout victim in the eyes right now. 1-2, here it is. Swung on, this one barely fouled back into the net. So Miramontes does a good job of battling to stay alive, but I gotta say, Valera is looking like a predator, and this TKB lineup is looking like his prey so far through an inning, and about to be an inning in the third. 1-2 count, here's the pitch. Curveball, just inside, it'll be two balls and two strikes. That one was really close. Questionable decision by Miramontes to lay off of it, but it pays off for him. 2-2 pitch now on the way. Fastball, outside corner, strike three called. Miramontes looked back at the umpire and said something to him. He definitely wasn't happy with that call, but I don't think it matters. You got to pick the bat up off your shoulder and swing it a little bit in a situation like that. You're down 8 runs. Don't be expecting a small, tight strike zone in that situation, Miramontes. So he'll head on back to the dugout as Parmenter, the right fielder who came in to relieve and gave up 8 runs in 2 innings to the Colt 45, sees a fastball for strike 1. Now Valera sets up and delivers. That one's going to be drilled into left field for a base hit. So Parmenter gets TKB their first base hit off of the reliever Valera. As now we'll see Belair out of the stretch for the first time tonight, facing off against the shortstop, Cervantes. And like we mentioned earlier, Cervantes has been one of the only shining lights for this TKB ball club. Over there at shortstop, he is a phenomenal glove and a great arm as well. Now let's see if he can do something on offense with the runner on first. Here's the pitch. High fastball, just a little out of the zone for ball one. It'll be a ball and no strikes now to Cervantes, as Parmenter takes a humble lead off of first. 1-0 pitch on the way. Here it is. Fastball in there. Strike one. Some great velo from Belair. Maybe some of the best we've seen out of a pitcher in this series so far. It'll be a ball and a strike now. Here's the pitch. Curveball in the dirt. No swing from Cervantes. It'll be 2 balls and a strike now.
Fuller, pitching out of a stretch, does not seem to be fazed by it, although his location has missed a couple of times, but just throwing that breaking pitch a little bit more, looking for that ground ball to end the game.
Now the 2-1 pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike 2. That was a nice fastball in the outside corner, and you could tell Cervantes just completely pulled his head off of it, looking to pull that one, but too far outside, couldn't catch up to it. It'll be 2 balls and 2 strikes. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Curveball, outside corner, just misses the zone, and the count will fill up at 3 balls and 2 strikes. So a nice take from Cervantes there. That one was real close, but Belair will set up. 3-2 pitch. Low fastball, ball 4. So now, after striking out 4 consecutive batters to start his relief appearance, Belair gives up a base hit and a walk. And now TKB is threatening. Again, they're still down 8 runs. The score is 9-1, Reading Colt 45s. But they have a chance to dignify the score a little bit more as number 18, Nathan Davis, in the left fielder, steps up to the plate. Valera looks down and takes his sign. Comes set. Here's the pitch. Fastball in there. Strike 1. Nice pitch there from Valera to come back after giving up the walk. And you can tell he's not afraid of this TKB lineup, attacking the zone once again. 0-1 pitch. Here it is. Curveball dribbled right out in front of the plate. It'll be Belair to pick it up. Throw one over to first is in time for out number 2. So the runners will advance. It'll be second and third with 2 outs as Dominic Nakagawa comes up to the plate. It'll be his first time facing off against Belair. And he has the opportunity to drive in a couple of runs for TKB, while Valera has the opportunity to finish off this lineup with 2 outs. He comes set. Here's the pitch to Nakagawa. Low fastball in there for strike 1. Nice pitch, nice velocity there. No swing from Nakagawa as Valera looks down, takes his sign. Now he'll come set. He's not worried about the runners. Here's the pitch. Fastball in there, strike 2. So 2 consecutive fastballs, no swing from Nakagawa, and now he's got to protect the plate with no balls and 2 strikes. Once again, Colt 45's not worried about the runners. They're not even holding them on. Here comes the 0-2 pitch. Swung on a miss, strike 3. So Belair gets himself in a bit of trouble, but gets it done here for the Colt 45's in the top of the ninth inning. Final score here at Tiger Field, Colt 45's 9, TKB 1. As the Colt 45s extend their win streak and finish off their 5th consecutive win of the season. So, folks, we'll see you back here tonight. It'll be a Sunday night game starting at 6 p.m., so either tune in here at KCNR or come on down to Tiger Field to watch the game with us. Once again, from Tiger Field, I'm Austin White here with my colleague Jacob Green. Good night.
North
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
64%, no difference, but the key is independence, and 15% to 11 say more likely. So that's pretty interesting, because we also hear in New York and these, what I didn't think are battleground states, more and more independents are leaning Trump.
Yeah, and that's why even, you know, there have been some polls in New York showing, you know, Biden, who won New York easily, now it's down to single digits. I mean, pollsters don't waste money polling states that aren't close, and the fact that New York is close, and that's why Democrats are freaking out. And it's going to be interesting, because those independents, and a Harvard-Harris poll recently said 31%, which I think is probably a little bit too high, said that they're still weighing their options. So, you know, this race can be won by either side. You have to run a very effective closing campaign. Trump is definitely ahead of the horse race now, but it's going to come down to money, and it's going to come down to strategy, and it's going to come down to the debates.
Yeah, it seems like they're probably going to – it's baked in. They're probably going to get more money. We're also going to look at world events too, see what's happening in Gaza, see how people feel about how it's going in Ukraine, see about the threat of China. The sanctions aren't working. Losing the dollar as the world's currency would be devastating. These are some of the things that could be brought up. Lastly, Bob, from what you can understand about the rules, I believe these rules are going to work for Trump. When they kill your mic and let the other guy talk, if you've seen the few interviews that Joe Biden does – his speeches that he gives, he easily gets off track. He easily loses his train of thought. He easily throws out words that make no sense. Trump was almost saving him by interrupting him last time. This will kill his mic. I think it could help him.
I think it's a good point, Brian. I really do, because I was watching the 2020 debates recently after they finally agreed to debate. And Biden is not as sharp as he was back then. So I do think it's a – it could be an advantage, because – and that's what Trump should have done, honestly, in the first debate in 2020. Let Joe Biden speak. Give him the mic. And I think Trump is going to be more composed this time. And I think, yes, if Biden has a tough moment, or a freezing McConnell moment, or a health moment, or anything like that, remember, this is before the Democratic convention. Democrats are going to be freaking out more, and there'll be more speculation that Biden will step aside. But, I don't see that happening. I think they're – whether they like it or not, they got Biden, and they're going to either win or lose with him.
I agree. Bob Cusack, thanks so much. Editor-in-chief of The Hill, always great to follow The Hill and get a unbiased perspective about what's happening inside the nation's capital. Bob, thanks.
I appreciate it.
1-866-408-7669. I know everybody out there wants to speak. This is your opportunity. Left a lot of time. I'm going to try to get to as many calls around the country. Where you think – let's move it forward – where do you think we go from here, and the impact of the conviction? You're listening to the Brian Kilmeade Show. Don't move.
Politics, current events, and news that affects you. Brian's got a lot more to say. Stay with Brian Kilmeade.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code YEAR to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code YEAR for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code YEAR for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
A healthy weight, more energy, and smooth, regular bowel movements. Three things everyone strives for.
It's me, Chuck Norris. There's one really important thing we don't talk about enough. Our health. Achy joints, digestive issues, weight gain, and fatigue. We're told these are normal signs of aging. So working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick.
Morning Kick is a revolutionary formula combining 10 different supplements in one. Probiotics that help you lose weight. Prebiotics for digestion. Superfoods for muscles and joints. And several of the most powerful anti-aging supplements on Earth. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, focused, and help manage stress.
Anybody can achieve great health regardless of their age.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com. Use code BODY or text BODY to 511-511 and claim 40% off today.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee.
Text BODY to 511-511. Morning Kick.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Roundhouse Provisions.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
An eighth grader from Glendale, Wisconsin makes the Dean's List for saving a whole school bus of kids after his bus driver suffered a medical emergency. AC Holland III knew that something was wrong when the bus began swerving with all of his fellow students on board. He then saw the driver wasn't moving and he missed his stop as they were headed home. The driver's head was dropping and AC decided to do something. So he jumped up and somehow got the driver's foot off the pedal and was able to pump the brakes to stop. AC then called 911 and told everyone on the bus to contact their parents if they had a phone. He then called the dispatch to let them know that the bus driver had regained consciousness. The principal of AC School wrote in a letter to families of his incredible courage and leadership, saying, thanks to his swift thinking, a potentially catastrophic situation was averted and all students on the bus arrived home safely. AC, well done. You are a hero. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. Hearing loss can be caused by a number of factors. The National Institutes of Health says that can include certain health conditions in older people, ear infections, and brain injuries. But no matter the cause, if left untreated, hearing loss can lead to other issues that can dramatically alter people's lives. Health experts say delayed treatment of hearing loss could result in social isolation or even impact the quality of a person's social interactions. And that isolation can increase someone's risk for heart disease, stroke, depression, and an earlier death. It's believed in the U.S. alone, nearly 29 million adults could benefit from using hearing aids. More than 5 million kids and teens ages 6 to 19 and roughly 26 million adults ages 20 to 69 have permanent hearing damage from exposure to excessive noise, according to CDC data. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
His whole dream was to be respected in Manhattan, and it was in Manhattan where he was brought low. I think there's something interesting and poetic about that.
Mr. Steinglass, I think some of you probably saw him speak for a little bit the other day. So he's done his job.
It was very satisfying to finally see this guy get some comeuppance.
Thank you so much. Anything going on today?
Yeah, Hillary Clinton now thinks that that's how he stole the election from Stormy Daniels. My goodness, how stupid do they think people are? Mark Elias evidently feels the same way. That evil attorney that's still screwing with these elections. He was the one who booked the whole dossier thing and implemented the fake Russia investigation that destroyed our foreign policy. Just a little of the reaction from the conviction yesterday. I promised to open up the phones, and we're doing it, man. We're packed. Let's go to Lara in Louisville, Kentucky. Hey, Lara.
Hi, I talked to you the other day, and I told you I thought that they were going to lock him up. I mean, going to convict him, and they did. And I still don't think that they're done. They're going to put this man in jail because they hate him that bad.
It would be a huge leap to put a 77-year-old with no prior record in jail.
Well, but look, they don't care. No, they don't care. Like, the hatred is off the charts. And what is scary to me is us, the people, we can't do anything because they're doing whatever we want. And yes, we're all screaming to the hills, but I mean, nobody's doing anything. So What do you do to?
Well, I mean, you start the appeal process right away within 30 days. They're going to start with the judge never should have been out behind the bench. They're going to talk about the jury instructions, how uneven it is and unfair, the people that were not allowed to testify. They got a strong case. If he can stay out of jail and not have weekend arrests and things to that nature, I think they got a pretty good game plan. You heard that one ad with Joe Rogan. I think it's pretty good. Thanks, Lara. Mark, listen to WHIO in Dayton. Mark.
How you doing, Brian? If I was Trump's team, I would have them tell Trump to say, I feel your pain, and like all the Americans of color that were wrongly convicted in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, I am uniquely qualified now to fight your battles and help you overcome these issues.
I don't think you need to say it. I think if people feel that way, they see it. I think that might be a little bit on the pandering side that we see that shamelessly being done by Joe Biden and his staff. But I think he can easily recover from this if he's allowed to keep his freedom and the other cases stay at bay. And there's more at stake with him than anybody else outside our country, because if he's forced to deal with the other three indictments without the fuel and the money of the party. Man, it's going to be lonely, especially without the thought of being the next president. Roy, listen, VGA in Valdosta, Georgia. Hey, Roy.
Morning, Brian. Hey, morning, Brian. Thanks for taking the call. Back in the Battle of Mobile Bay, Admiral Farragut said, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. And that's what Mark Levin said last night on his program. We need to quit sitting on our hands, waiting for something to happen. You just said he's got to file within 30 days. I'd have filed within 30 minutes. Go straight to the Supreme Court and get this thing done. I knew he was going to be convicted. Now we know what we need to do. So let's just get it done.
Yeah, I mean, move forward. But if you hurdle the appellate court and go right to the Supreme Court and they reject it, then you got to start from square one. Nobody says that what Mark Levin said is necessarily wrong. They do say it's so unlikely the Supreme Court would want to get involved in an election. They still have not recovered from Bush v. Gore in terms of perception. I'm not saying they're corrupt or great or forget what I think. Perception, you don't want the Supreme Court deciding who the next president is, even though the Democrats, to Mark's point, are trying to decide who Joe Biden's opponent will be. And now that they think they can't stop that, they'll think they'll stop it a different way. Thanks, Roy. Mike in Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Mike.
Brian, thanks for having me on. I'll tell you two things. First of all you Stalinist, Marxist, I'm sorry, quote-unquote Democrats, congratulations. You just invigorated all of the base. That much more you've motivated them. I think last time we did think there was going to be a huge wave. A lot of people stayed home. They're going to be out there, and people that are waffling, people that are independents or whatever they claim to be, are now going to see exactly just how corrupt, how disenfranchised everybody is from the corruption and everything that they are doing, that they are going to get out there and they're going to support DJT.
So I think it helps get people off the couch. Will it convert the independents or the undecideds? I think it'll mobilize people who thought, I don't want to, Trump doesn't need my vote. Now I think they're saying, no, now I'm ticked off. Now this is a farce. Now I'm going to get out there. But I worry about the couch. That's the bigger one. So that's going to be the war. Gary in Daytona, Florida. Hey, Gary.
Yeah, good morning, Brian. Yeah, I think Jonathan touched on it a little bit. Some of the minefields are the sentencing, along with, I think, a lot of people, the Democrats have to be really wondering what's going to happen if Hunter walks 100% free and clear on everything before the election, along with the debate's going to be interesting. But I also heard how sick it is, a MSNBC person say, this is the first time in the last 9 years, she speaks Donald Trump's name every day.
Katie Turr, she's obsessed. Not as bad as some of them on that channel, but she is obsessed. They're all obsessed because they get up every day and they just can't believe this guy's is leading again, despite the fact that they've been trying to rip him for 9 years. No one listens to them anymore. You're making your own decisions. You deserve credit for that. BrianKilmeade.com.
A healthy weight, more energy, and smooth, regular bowel movements. Three things everyone strives for.
It's me, Chuck Norris. There's one really important thing we don't talk about enough. Our health. Achy joints, digestive issues, weight gain, and fatigue. We're told these are normal signs of aging. So working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick.
Morning Kick is a revolutionary formula combining 10 different supplements in one. Probiotics that help you lose weight. Prebiotics for digestion. Superfoods for muscles and joints. And several of the most powerful anti-aging supplements on Earth. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, focused, and help manage stress.
Anybody can achieve great health regardless of their age.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com. Use code BODY or text BODY to 511-511 and claim 40% off today.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee.
Text BODY to 511-511. Morning Kick.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Roundhouse Provisions.
If your pest control company has you wondering what stresses you out more, the bugs they miss or the bill they send you, then it's time to ditch big corporate pest control and call your local guys, Jefferson Pest Control. We have a combined 70 years of experience in dealing with pests including termites, ants, spiders, roaches, rodents, and more. We're local, we're fair, we answer the phone, and we can't wait to hear from you. We're Jefferson Pest Control. You can find us on Google.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRostra. The Biden administration offering its latest proposal to end the Israel-Hamas war.
President Joe Biden's vocal support for the latest ceasefire proposal offered a rare glimmer of hope for many of the thousands of displaced Palestinian families living in tents in war-ravaged Gaza. Imad Hassona, originally from Gaza City, but now living in a small tent with his family, says any proposal that leads to our return to our homes and the reconstruction of our houses and the release of our detained brothers, we're with it. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
The Biden administration is going to great lengths to avoid any suggestion Israeli forces have crossed a red line set by President Biden in the deepening offensive in the southern Gaza city of Rafah, and that includes administration officials calling Israeli military operations around the city a, quote, uptick. More at Town Hall. Meanwhile, the Boeing's first astronaut flight was scrubbed Saturday at the last minute.
Two NASA astronauts were strapped for launch in the company's Starliner capsule, awaiting liftoff when the countdown was automatically aborted by computers. The cause not immediately clear. Launch controllers are checking things out, hoping to reset a countdown within the next 24 hours. It was Boeing's second launch attempt in a month since May 6th. NASA wants to back up the SpaceX, which has been flying astronauts since 2020. George Williams reporting.
China's defense minister has acknowledged the importance of newly renewed military-to-military communications with the U.S. as tensions escalate in the Asia-Pacific, while at the same time accusing Washington of causing the friction with its support for Taiwan and the Philippines. Check out the latest news, read the best analysis, both at townhall.com.
Well, the weather's warming up and summer's just around the corner. Everyone has a favorite outdoor activity. Golf, bike riding, bird watching, long walks. Ask 100 people, you'll get 100 answers. But if everyday aches and pains are keeping you on the sidelines, I have one answer. Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients. It doesn't just mask pain, it helps reduce or even eliminate it. Wherever you're hurting, back, neck, joints, or muscles, in 3 weeks or less, you'll start to feel the difference all day, every day. So whatever you like to do, swimming, pickleball, hanging out in the garden, Relief Factor can help you feel good again and let you enjoy all your favorite outdoor activities all summer long. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and save on your first order. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
Three. Just a few hours before polls are open in Mexico, where campaigns have been marred by bloodshed inflicted by powerful drug gangs.
The federal government says 22 candidates have been murdered on the campaign trail, but security groups say that at least 37 candidates are being killed, victims of Mexico's powerful and dangerous drug cartels. Mr. Cabrera's death marks another sad statistic in the daily misery of murders and kidnappings carried out by the cartels. Tackling drug violence will remain a major challenge for the new government. It'll be the largest set of elections in the country's history, with voting taking place for a new president, both houses of Congress, as well as local officials.
That's the BBC's Richard Howells reporting. African National Congress Party lost its parliamentary majority in a historic election, resulting that puts South Africa on a new political path for the first time since the end of the apartheid system. More at townhall.com. Honoring the greatest generation.
More than 60 veterans have been flown from Dallas to France to take part in ceremonies marking the 80th anniversary of D-Day. The group includes 6 Medal of Honor recipients and 2 Rosie the Riveters, women who worked in factories and shipyards. They'll attend ceremonies and visit Omaha and Utah beaches, 2 of the spots in Normandy where the Allies stormed ashore June 6, 1944. The veterans range from 96 to 107 years of age. Jason Walker reporting.
June 1, 1813, the mortally wounded commander of the USS Chesapeake, Captain James Lawrence, gave the order, "Don't give up the ship," during a losing battle with the British frigate HMS Shannon during the War of 1812. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. Right here on Free Fire Radio.
News headquarters in New York City. Always seeking solutions, never sowing division. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everyone. That's it. The guy with the deep voice just concluded. I am indeed Brian Kilmeade. This hour, we're going to be joined by Tom Dupree on Skype. So if you have the Fox News app or you're watching on Fox Nation, you get a chance to see what Tom looks like. Us into Joni Ernst at the bottom of the hour. Then I'll do a simulcast. You get to see me again and make sure I am dressed. With Stuart Varney, and we'll be talking about the verdict, and we'll be talking about Joe Biden, and when is he going to come out and speak? We know the former president will be speaking today. Last night he had a fundraiser, so that's significant. We know that the site went down, and it's not hype. I went to it just to see what was happening. It was stopped, and I saw Clay and a few of the other guys here were writing too. They were tweeting out, "I can't get on the site to see if people are actually donating," and they were. After the 34-count guilty verdict yesterday, now we're waiting for July 11th. Why July 11th? There's going to be sentencing. Before that, we're going to have a debate. Then, right after July 11th, we'll find out what about the RNC. I think there'll be a lot of momentum there in Milwaukee. They want to win Wisconsin. It makes a lot of sense. But will Donald Trump be in jail? I mean, you have people saying that he will be in jail.
Tom Dupree joins us now, former Deputy Assistant Attorney General, who might be a little tired of talking to me because I did speak to you on Fox and Friends today, Tom.
It's good to see you again, Brian.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Tom, first off, I'm just trying to see what Andrew Weissman and on the other channels, you know, he ran the Mueller investigation. He also screwed up the Enron case. And he's obsessed with getting Donald Trump, in my view. And he says, yeah, it's a Class E felony, and he's a first-time guy, and he's 77. But look at the way he's talked about the judge. Look at the defiance he's had for the system. I think he gets jail. What are your thoughts?
You know, Brian, I'm not one of those in the camp who thinks the president could get sentenced to jail here. I just don't see it, to be honest. I think a far likelier scenario is that the judge sentences him to probation, possibly with a fine on top of it. I mean, if for some reason the judge did want to look at some sort of incarceration type option, he could always look at home confinement. But I don't even see that, frankly. I think the likeliest outcome here, if and when a sentence is imposed, and it's an if, but if and when a sentence is imposed, I would say probation.
And then what changes? Does he have to check in with his probation officer every time he wants to go out of the state, like let's say you or I would?
Well, it depends on the conditions the judge imposes. I do not think there would be a requirement that the former president would have to check in to get permission to leave the state. That said, he would have to check in regularly with the probation officer. The thing they keep an eye on is basically whether the person reoffends or does something that violates the terms of his probation, which I think in this case would be unlikely, but he still would have to check in.
I understand that through the system, you go to probation for an interview. Before the sentencing, and the prosecution will get to that, what they'll recommend, at which time Donald Trump will advocate for himself, I understand, and then that probation officer will give his report or her report to the judge. Does that sound like the process you know it? Because that's what it's been outlined to me.
Yeah, that's a pretty accurate description, Brian. And look, I got to say, what a bizarre meeting that is going to be. You're going to have the former president of the United States sitting down in probably some small, cramped, dingy office in a New York State office building with a probation officer. And this is a guy who, keep in mind, is used to dealing with, criminals of a different nature and a different class than a former president of the United States, right? And so Trump is going to have a chance to speak directly to the probation officer, and the defense can and will urge the probation officer to recommend a particular sentence. It doesn't mean the probation officer has to accept it. They can and do disagree, but if nothing else, they'll at least have their say and get to weigh in on that recommendation.
Prediction, will the prosecution recommend jail?
I got to think they will. You know, they have pursued this very aggressively. I suspect that there would be, I don't know, somewhat of an outcry from a lot of the liberal Democratic community if they thought that the DA at this stage was backing down and trying to exact the maximum punishment. So that would be my expectation. Although, look, in their heart of hearts, they may realize they're unlikely to get that request granted. But I suspect that's what they would ultimately recommend.
So here's Alvin Bragg yesterday, and I didn't see the gloating from the White House, and I didn't see the gloating from Bragg. Cut 7.
The 12 everyday jurors vowed to make a decision based on the evidence and the law, and the evidence and the law alone. Their deliberations led them to a unanimous conclusion beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant, Donald J. Trump, is guilty of 34 counts of falsifying business records in the first degree to conceal a scheme to corrupt the 2016 election. And while this defendant may be unlike any other in American history, we arrived at this trial and ultimately today at this verdict in the same manner as every other case that comes through the courtroom doors.
All right, my witness first, Tom. He actually said that he conspired. The defendant may be unlike... I'll take that one second back. He was convicted of 34 counts of falsifying business records in the first degree to conceal a scheme to corrupt the 2016 election. Really? An NDA is a scheme to corrupt the 2016 election? That is something that I don't believe was in the notes and the conclusion in the counts, was it?
Not exactly, no. I mean, the way that this was presented to the jury is they had to find the falsification of the business records, but they were given, you know, pretty free range in determining what the, you know, unlawful means or the unlawful purpose or the unlawful objective was. And as we saw, as you know, over the course of this trial, there was a bit of hide the ball going on. It was never entirely clear exactly what the underlying crime, or I should say the crime that would elevate these misdemeanors to a felony, was. Then their closing argument, the prosecutors got around to saying, well, they thought it was a violation of state election law. But as you know, the jury instructions, again, gave the jury, you know, pretty wide range to find that predicate conduct and didn't require them to reach unanimity as to precisely what those unlawful means or unlawful purpose was.
And he also said that he brings this case like any other case since the 1930s in a white-collar criminal situation. He goes, the defendant might have been different, but ultimately this case would have been brought anyway. Nobody believes that, Tom Dupree.
And look, the way the DA has pitched this is that they say we bring these falsification of business record cases all the time. They pointed out, if I'm remembering correctly, that in, I guess, Bragg's 15-month tenure that they've prosecuted, I don't know, 34 defendants or something like that. But the key point here, to your point, is none of those defendants were a former president of the United States who is being accused of falsifying business records to pursue what is otherwise a very lawful end of influencing a federal election. You know, there's nothing unlawful about non-disclosure agreements. There's nothing unlawful about trying to influence a federal election. And it was those factors that made this case, again, unique and unprecedented in American history.
So I got to bring you to Michael Cohen because he is very critical of Todd Blanche, cut 10.
It was a very, and I have said it, it was a very foolish strategy. And he's not really known as a defense attorney. I think it's only his second defense trial. Not a good strategy, and proof positive of that is the 34-count verdict. I was going to call him a sloat, which is the stupidest lawyer of all time. You cannot listen. You cannot listen to your client when you are trying to create a defense that is as important as this one is.
So, number one, did he listen to his client? I have no idea. How would Michael Cohen know?
Michael Cohen can't know. Todd Blanche last night, when he was talking about what happened, I remember at one point he was asked, you know, did Trump play a role in defense? And Blanche said, yes, he was very involved. And I think Cohen is now using that to basically claim that it was, you know, Trump who was directing Blanche to make all sorts of strategic decisions. And look, the fact is I thought Todd Blanche took a very appropriate, thoughtful, smart approach to Michael Cohen. If he hadn't gone after Michael Cohen with the vigor that he did, I think everyone would be second guessing him, because Cohen, of course, was the potential Achilles heel in the prosecution's case. And any lawyer who let Cohen off and didn't push Cohen on as many lies over the years would be committing malpractice. They had to go after Cohen. They did go after Cohen. It looks like the jury wasn't imposed or wasn't inclined to doubt Cohen's credibility at the end of the day. But from my perspective, that doesn't make it the wrong strategic call to have made a trial.
So when we talk about appeal, Mark Levin has said, go right to the Supreme Court. What is the downside to trying to get them to take this case? And if you want an example, Bush v. Gore, that was a state case. It became a federal case at the highest court. Do you see a pathway to getting this to the Supreme Court?
I don't think they can go directly to the Supreme Court. I suppose there's no harm in trying, but I got to say the odds of that would be, you know, winning the lottery, getting the Supreme Court to take this case directly. They just never do that. I think that the likelier approach here is to litigate this case, through the kind of normal channels, which would be going up to the New York appellate courts. And look, I would say that the New York appellate courts, you saw they recently reversed the conviction of Harvey Weinstein based on improper evidence that was admitted at trial. So there you have a case where I'm sure the judges in the New York appellate courts weren't big fans of Harvey Weinstein, but they nonetheless understood that an injustice had occurred at his trial, and they reversed and threw out the conviction on that basis. So I don't think the New York appellate courts are kind of an empty or hopeless road for Trump at this point. To the contrary, I think that they will take a fresh look at this case and bring to bear their independent judgment into whether this trial was properly conducted.
The president's going to speak in 40 minutes. Legally, if you were representing him, what would you tell him to avoid? Because the gag order technically still on, right? and the judge will make the decision on his sentence. So what should be in that presser today if you were advising him legally?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I'm sure any legal advice I would give him might go out the window because he's going to say
he's
what he
fired
wants
up. Yeah.
Say. Yeah, but look, I mean, yeah, putting on my lawyer's hat for that, I guess, number one, I would say steer clear of anything that would violate the gag order, because to your point, it remains in place. This is the judge who is going to be imposing a sentence in a few months. And, you know, goes without saying there could be potential costs if the judge thought that you were blatantly violating the gag order, you know, in the weeks or the months before he imposes a sentence. So that would be my advice. But look, I'm confident the president is going to come out this morning in his typical fashion, and he's going to say what's on his mind and what he thinks about the fairness or lack thereof of these proceedings.
But he also knows, too, that if he does do something, the guy is capable of putting him in jail, and it's no longer if convicted. Now they'll say is convicted. And lastly, on immunity, any day the Supreme Court should rule on this, literally any day, or when do they usually come out with rulings like this?
Yeah, it is literally any day. The Supreme Court will typically announce on its website the dates on which it is releasing opinions, and they usually come out right around, you know, 10 in the morning. So you can log on to their website and see it come out in real time. And we will get a decision by the end of June. That's when the court adjourns for the summer. So that's the one thing we can say with certainty, is that we will get a decision before the Supreme Court breaks for the summer.
And I mean, in all practicality, they're not going to say a former president's immune, but if they say you're immune as a president, they're going to define what exactly that is for the first time maybe ever, right?
That's right. That's right. In a kind of a criminal context, they've talked about immunity from civil litigation. You'll remember all the litigation over Bill Clinton getting sued for all of his indiscretions. But this is the first time they've directly confronted this particular question about immunity from criminal prosecution. And look, I agree with you. I don't think the Supreme Court is going to resolve that issue in one fell swoop. I think they are going to articulate general principles of law, but then they're going to send it back to the lower courts to really parse through what those principles mean, how they apply in this case, which is to say, this case is not going to get restarted on a moment's notice once the Supreme Court decides it. There's still going to be weeks, if not months ahead, of work ahead for the lower courts.
Lastly, a broad sweeping question. Is this the end or just the beginning of lawfare in politics?
That is the question for the ages. I hope it's the end, but I'm realistic enough to know that, you know, things like this have consequences, and it doesn't take a huge leap of imagination to see a world a few years from now where you've got crusading conservative Republican district attorney who wants to, you know, make a name for himself and files charges against a Democratic president or Democratic office holders or former Democratic office holders, in the same way kind of that this happened.
I hope
it's not the new normal.
Yeah, I look at a Jamie Dimon running J.P. Morgan. I'm sure there's a lot of people feel they were unjustly fired. I'm sure a lot of people feel they did too good in 2008. And I'm sure there's a lot of people, let's say, with Kevin O'Leary, one of the most successful businessmen around Shark Tank. Let's say he wants to run. I'm sure there's people out there, they're going to find something about something that he did or didn't file. And next thing you know, they'll be weaponizing their background. He'll be gummed up in another court system that doesn't affect anyone's life, like the O.J. Simpson murder, but they'll come up with something. It's just enough time to keep good people who had successful businesses and might have some scorned business partners, let alone personal issues, out of politics. That's the worry.
And it's a completely valid worry, Brian. I worry about that a lot myself. And you got to keep an eye when people are running for office. I mean, we saw it this cycle, right, where you see prosecutors running for office on a pledge that they're going to go after someone or stick it to someone or put them in jail. So it's really part of their campaign platform is pursuing these types of claims, and it's not a good thing for our system.
It's a good thing for you to break it down for us. Tom Dupree, former Deputy Assistant Attorney General. Thanks so much, Tom.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. You had talked to him twice in 3 hours, and it's always educational, always different. 1-866-408-7669. You guys are next. Then I got Senator Joni Ernst, so don't move.
You're with Brian Kilmeade.
A healthy weight, more energy, and smooth, regular bowel movements. Three things everyone strives for.
It's me, Chuck Norris. There's one really important thing we don't talk about enough. Our health. Achy joints, digestive issues, weight gain, and fatigue. We're told these are normal signs of aging. So working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick.
Morning Kick is a revolutionary formula combining 10 different supplements in one. Probiotics that help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and several of the most powerful anti-aging supplements on Earth. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, focused, and help manage stress.
Anybody can achieve great health regardless of their age.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com. Use code BODY or text BODY to 511-511 and claim 40% off today.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee.
Text BODY to 511-511. Morning Kick.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Roundhouse Provisions.
My wife and I both, we ended up mildly sick for a few months, and the nasal congestion was probably the worst part. I had like a post-nasal drip, just super congested all the time. We were taking everything we possibly could, but nothing really worked.
Kyrie was miserable until a friend recommended Navage. Navage offers immediate drug-free congestion relief, flushing your nasal passages with refreshing saline and sucking out mucus, germs, and other airborne irritants. Don't live in misery this cold season. Use Navage so you can breathe easier, sleep better, and feel your best right away.
The biggest thing Navage has done has completely cleaned out my nasal passages. It was from the first use, I was able to just clear out anything that was stopping me from breathing correctly. Navage helps me clear the way, literally clear the way, for me to operate better in the rest of my life.
Experience the Navage difference yourself. Navage is available at Navage.com or at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A police officer from Indiana who was reunited with a retired lieutenant who saved his life makes today's Dean's List. Officer Gene Eister, who was part of the South Bend Police Department, couldn't believe it when someone pointed out that their new colleague was the baby that Officer Eister found in a box abandoned before Christmas. They called him Baby Jesus because they didn't want to call him John Doe. And after being found 24 years ago outside the police department, he was taken to Child Protective Services and put up for adoption. Two decades later, after being rescued by the same department he now serves, Matthew Hegda Stewart has come full circle to meeting the man that helped him survive. Officer Eister says that for him, he's grateful to find out that the baby turned out so well. Officer Eister and Officer Stewart, thank you both for your service and sharing your story. Janice Dean, Fox News.
House Call for Health. Preliminary data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shows around 107,500 overdose deaths in 2023, about a 3% decrease from 2022. CDC officials say the final number may be different, but they believe they'll still see a decline. The overdose epidemic has taken the lives of over 1 million people in the U.S. since the late 90s. While prescription painkillers were once the driving force behind it, they've since been replaced by heroin and then fentanyl in more recent years. A new study shows a huge increase in law enforcement confiscation of pills containing fentanyl from 44 million 2 years ago to 115 million last year. Despite the decline in overdose deaths, experts are cautious. One tells the Associated Press the last time a decline happened in 2018, drug deaths rose in the years that followed. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind, 1973.
I will not place the blame on subordinates, on people whose zeal exceeded their judgment, and who may have done wrong in a cause they deeply believe to be right.
I'm getting out of baseball because I don't feel that when I go on the field, I want to give 100%. And the people of America should look at a guy like myself that loves the game of baseball and being on the field and not being able to produce.
But it was the unanimous judgment of my advisors that resignation would carry a presumption of guilt sufficient to prevent a defense on the merits. And I'm afraid that what I've been hearing and seeing and reading persuades me that they were right.
People have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
interested in it?
Brian's talking about it. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Hey, let's get in a few calls before we go to Senator Joni Ernst. Thanks so much for listening. You are Steve. You're in WABC. Steve, what's on your mind?
Hey, Brian. Steve from Florida here. Yeah, you know, Bragg is bragging about, I guess, whatever he's bragging about here. But he's raising Trump's polls so much. And I don't know if you remember me, but I was the one that was pushing for Curtis Sliwa.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, well, anyway, I think more than ever now, I asked Sliwa, because I call him all the time. I told him a year ago, I said, Sliwa, never say never with Trump, because he was a never Trumpster. Now he's backing Trump all the way. And I asked him, I said, I hope you don't mind me pushing for you, Trump Sliwa, because all my posts, I put Trump Sliwa, Trump Sliwa, Trump Sliwa, and I'm trying to get him to be vice president. And he thanked me. He goes, oh, no, thank you very much, you know.
Well, he's going to run for governor again, Steve. For sure, he wants to take on mayor. He wants to take on Mayor Adams. Billy in Wichita Falls, Texas, beautiful area of Texas. Hey, Billy.
Hey, Brian. I'll be quick. I was thinking, what would happen if Biden pardoned Trump? It would kind of boost him to on the political side for the people that are swinging, and it might stop some of the money coming in. And
all right,
I don't know. It's kind of way out there, but that's where I'm at. Wichita Falls, way out there.
I know, Bill. It's a very, very patriotic area. I know that for sure. Well, thanks so much for your comments. And when we come back, I'm going to get Senator Joni Ernst's thoughts on this. One thing happened that I look for Nikki Haley to come out even stronger now. Governor Ron DeSantis tweeted something out immediately. People like Susan Collins, who aren't fans of Trump, I'm not even sure if she voted for Trump, have spoken out against the case. Mitch McConnell, somebody said this case has never been brought. So it is unifying the Republican Party. The question I have for you, the independents, undecideds, how do they feel? I saw this poll. They said prior to the conviction, New York had closed within 8 points. 8 points! Imagine if he goes and tries to maximize upstate and Long Island to overcome an increased population in the city.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 Baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communications, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 Baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Bob the Drop here. I recently confronted the sneaky villain, Hydro Shadow. He created a robot that looked like me, and then he activated the robot. But I was able to push the self-destruct button to defeat this inferior threat. If you would like the great taste that can't be imitated delivered to your door, give us a call at 1-800-922-6227. That's 1-800-922-6227. Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta Springwater.
Now, this is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Talk show that's getting you talking. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Welcome back, everyone. It's my privilege to tell you about a brand new book I think you should really get. I don't care where you're from, who you grew up with, or what color, what gender you are. It's called Get Honest or Die Lying, Why Small Talk Sucks, Charlamagne the God's latest one. In case you don't know, you're watching Fox and Friends, got a very successful morning show called The Breakfast Club, nationally syndicated. Most politicians, certainly on the left, always make it a must-stop, including Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton, you name it, they go by. And he came out of nowhere to be this impact player. I got a chance to meet him. Then we sat down for the interview after I read his book. Here's a little of my exchange with him about the issues of the day, not only about his book, but about Kamala Harris and 2024. Let's listen. So, Charlamagne, looking at this election, we see the numbers in terms of Hispanics. It's basically a dead heat between Biden and Trump. We see the African-American vote. I've not seen a African-American poll with Trump less than 20%, mm-hmm. when for the most part, I think Nixon did the best at 13%. That's a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Why do you think he's picking up Hispanic, black, or minority support?
I don't know if he really is. And the reason I say that, I think a lot of those polls might be slightly overstated. I do think it will be an uptick. I don't know. I can't see 20% of black people voting for Donald Trump. But I will say this, as far as the blacks, Latinos, the youth vote, I think people are just tired of politics, period. I don't think it's about Trump. I don't think it's about Biden. My man Tim Ryan always talks about the exhausted majority. And I think the majority of Americans are just exhausted with American politics. These two candidates, they don't do anything but suck the life out of everybody. Like, people are drained. They're not energized by either one of these candidates.
But you have to see, Charlamagne, 100,000 people lined up in Wildwood, New Jersey, in the middle of nowhere. It was freezing that night on the beach to watch a guy in a state that he lost by 15 points. Mm-hmm. You can't say that they're not energized to see Trump.
He's entertaining. So they like going to a free stand-up show. I'm not saying that these guys don't have a base. Of course Joe Biden has a base of people that support him. Of course Donald Trump has a base of people that support him. But as far as like those hypothetical swing voters, you know, the UFO, the people who are just, you know, turning 18 who want to go out there and vote, they're not inspired by either one of these candidates. I've been saying it, you know, for months now. I think that this election this year is about the Republicans who are the crooks, the Democrats who are the cowards because they don't fight for nothing, and the cowards, which is voter apathy. And I think the couch will probably win. And whose fault is that? It's not the people. It's the candidates.
So why do you think, we'll break that down. Why do you think Republicans are the crooks?
I mean, damn. Their candidate for president has 88 plus criminal charges right now.
How many do you think are legitimate?
I have no idea, but I do know that if Barack Obama had 88 criminal charges, it wouldn't be a question of how many are legitimate. It would be he's not qualified to run.
Do you think that from what you know about the case in New York, do you think that would be brought by any other candidate, any other person that you know? Because I see Fareed Zakaria, just who leans left, very smart guy, big, despises Trump. And he said, let's be honest, he's the only candidate that would be charged like this in New York.
If I'm being honest, man, that wouldn't be the... And I know these things take time and there's a process. It just looks weird for that to be the first one that rolls out. Like, you know, if it was something about, you know, election interference, that would make more sense to me, you know. But the whole porn Stormy Daniels thing, it does look like... It does look like a show, and it's going to be bad if, you know, that one gets thrown out, because everybody's going to automatically just say, well, all the rest of them might be BS, too. As you just said, you asked me how many of them are legitimate. If they can make that one go away and make that one look like this was just a witch hunt, as he always says, it's going to, you know, it's going to make the rest of them lose a lot of credibility.
Charlamagne, I watched a couple of weeks ago when the president of the United States went to Morehouse College, an historically black mm-hmm. college. And one of the lines he said was, in fact, let's watch.
What is democracy? If black men are being killed in the street, what is democracy? The trail of broken promises still leave black communities behind. What is democracy? You have to be 10 times better than anyone else to get a fair shot. Most of all, what does it mean, as we've heard before, to be a black man who loves his country, even if it doesn't love him back in equal measure?
It's quoting Doc Rivers from a few years ago. Your thoughts, if you were sitting in that audience wearing that gown graduating that day, is that an inspirational message?
No. not in no way, shape, or form, especially for somebody who's been in politics as long as, you know, President Biden has been in politics. Like, I would be wondering, like, well, what have you done, you know? What have you done, you know, to make some of these things that you're not saying not be true? Like, you know, for as long as he's been in politics, he's contributed to a lot of those feelings that he's expressing, like that. It sounded very pessimistic, right? You know what I mean? Like, at least President Barack Obama, he had the audacity of hope. Like, he came in with optimism. Like that right there was like doom and gloom. And, you know, and especially coming from the president of the United States of America, I don't want to hear about the problems. I want to hear from you the solutions. Right? Because you've been in politics for so long. I want to hear more solutions from you. I don't want to hear, like, all those problems. And being that he was getting so much flack from Morehouse students, it's kind of like, all right, I know I've been getting flack. This crowd ain't really here for me. So let me stand up here and tell them everything they want to hear, which is politics in a nutshell.
Right.
This is dream selling season. Whether it's Donald Trump, whether it's President Joe Biden, they're going to stand in front of whatever crowd they're in front of and tell them exactly what they want to hear because they want to get the votes.
What would your message have been to Morehouse? You know what it takes to get into that school, excel at that school. You got the honor you got the valedictorian sitting behind you. What is the message you think that seniors in college need to hear?
If I was President Joe Biden and, you know, I was getting the backlash that I was getting from Morehouse students, I would have talked with them, not to them. And what I mean by that is I would have did a town hall You know, even I would have let somebody else give the commencement speech, but I would have went there and said, you know what, I want to go down there and I want to talk to these, you know, these black people at Morehouse College, and I want to have a conversation with them, and I want to see what they're really frustrated about. I want to talk to them about the things that I know are bothering them. I think that would go way farther than what he did. We was at Clark Atlanta University a couple of weeks before he gave that speech. You know, myself and Jess Hilarious and DJ Envy, the Breakfast Club, we were down there broadcasting from Clark Atlanta, and we had a conversation with the kids. Like, we broadcasted, you know, from one of the auditoriums on their campus, and we talked to the kids, and these kids are brilliant. Like, these kids, you know, they care about actual issues. They're not even really tripping off the individuals. They're not on Trump. They're not on Biden. They care about actual issues. And what's going to sound, I put this out, this is on air, a lot of them were talking about RFK Jr. And the reason they were talking about RFK Jr. was because he came to the school and spoke to them. So he had a conversation with them, and they believed a lot of the things that were, you know, coming out of his mouth. That's what President Biden should be doing. That's what the Vice President Kamala Harris should be doing. I've said it a million times. Vice President Kamala Harris should be coming on Fox. Like, they're afraid of Fox, right? Because they feel like, and Fox does do this, they'll take pieces of things that they say to push their narrative. It's not like they didn't say the things,
yeah,
but they'll take the things that the piece of what they want to push their narrative. So my whole thing is, go to Fox, have conversations with, you know, the personalities on Fox, and talk to the Fox audience. Very hard to misconstrue, you know, what somebody is saying when you're actually watching them say it.
Understood, too, because you knew Kamala Harris when before she was vice president. And yeah, you had great hope for her, mm-hmm, and that was one of the reasons you supported the Biden-Harris ticket last time.
She was the reason.
She was the reason.
Yeah.
And what happened?
Listen, she's a vice president, so, you know, we don't really ask too much of vice presidents, but I think her situation is a very unique situation because of the times that we're in, right? So there's things that she can speak to that maybe President Biden can't speak to. There's people she can speak to and speak maybe for that President Biden, you know, can't speak to. And I would like to see her do more of that. I mean, listen, it's still May, right? And I know, you know, they've been in for over 3 years and, you know, three, four months.
Yeah, 5 months left.
You probably can't, you know, change. But, man, I just want to see her, you know, I want to see her be the Vice President Kamala Harris that we know behind the scenes. Because she is a person. She's a person that cares. She really does care. I think that, you know, she's handcuffed a lot by this administration. And it's interesting because
Why do you think that?
Why do I think she's
Do you think she's handcuffed?
Because I know her, and I know what she stands for, and I know, you know, the things that she wants to do that she may not necessarily, you know, be in a position to do because she doesn't want to overstep the president, you know,
right.
Joe Biden. I mean, think about all of those hit pieces that came out about her over the last couple of years. A lot of those were coming from inside the administration, you know, because when you have somebody as talented as she is, because right, you can't sit here and act like she's not talented. As talented as she is, you know, there are people that may feel like, oh, she has other ambitions. But her ambitions aren't to upstage the president. I think she's very secure in her role as vice president. And I think people are definitely afraid, you know, of her being president one day. I've heard people.
Do you think she would be a good president?
She wouldn't be any different than any other Democrat. Like, what policies, you know, what issues would she be so different on that President Obama was, you know, or President Biden? She wouldn't be any different than any other Democrat. That's why when I hear people say things like, we should be terrified of a Kamala Harris presidency. We should be scared of a Kamala Harris presidency. Why?
Right.
You know why. Because she's a woman of color.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, 100%.
Do you think that Nikki Haley didn't get the nomination because she's a minority?
I think Nikki Haley probably didn't get the nomination because she was afraid to stand up to Donald Trump.
She stood up to him.
Not until the end.
She was like Chris Christie by the end.
Chris Christie was somebody that always kept his foot on Donald Trump's neck. Nikki Haley didn't get like that until towards the end. And maybe, I mean, you saw when Vivek Ramaswamy was talking to...
He was on your show.
Yes, he was. Who was he talking to? I can't remember right now. Oh, he was talking to... Was it Marjorie Taylor Greene? No, it wasn't Marjorie Taylor. Who was it? I can't remember. But she basically straight up told him, I wouldn't vote for you because you're Indian.
I don't remember that.
Of course y'all don't. It was recently. It was like 2 weeks ago. Was it? Was it Ann Coulter? Who was it? It was somebody he was talking to. It was Ann Coulter, right? Oh, it was Ann Coulter. Yes, but Vic Ramaswamy was talking to Ann Coulter, and Ann Coulter was like, I wouldn't vote for you because you're Indian.
Which is a crazy thing to say. I mean, I'm sorry that she thinks that.
Yes, but I respect the honesty. Right. I like to know where people are coming from.
Right. I think America is more than ready for a female president. We just want to see, competence. I don't think that America would hesitate at all with a female president.
So why'd they hesitate with Hillary Clinton, you think?
I think Hillary Clinton, my opinion, totally unlikable.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's detached. I thought she ran a lazy campaign. Mm-hmm. She used to go to the battleground states. I think she was dismissive of something that you're not and Bill Maher's not, and that is the Trump supporter.
Mm-hmm.
The Trump supporter you have no problem with. You have a problem with President Trump. Bill Maher doesn't have a problem with the Trump supporter. He likes debating. He has a problem with President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton hated the Trump supporters, the plurible. People don't get it. I still don't think she has changed her opinion on Trump supporters. And you're talking minimum 70 million people. It's crazy to live in a country where you don't like 70 million people.
I agree
with you. Disagree is fine.
I agree with you. And I think that when it comes to the Trump supporter, have conversations with them. See why they're supporting, you know, Donald Trump. When people started talking to me about the uptick in black, support for Donald Trump, I didn't shame them. I wanted to ask questions.
That's what you're great at.
I wanted to know why, certain people were starting to support, Donald Trump. And, when you get that information, then you know maybe how to pivot or maybe how to change your messaging so you can start connecting with, some of those individuals. But when it comes to Nikki Haley, I said, months ago that I felt like the GOP was doing themselves a disservice by not making her the nominee, because I think people want something different so bad
right
now in this moment that she probably could have ended up getting votes, from both sides. She probably could have ended up getting a lot of those independent voters. She could have ended up getting a lot of those hypothetical swing voters just because people wanted something different so bad.
Right.
All right, coming up after the break, we talk about the pressure that Charlemagne the God feels from, believe it or not, the Democratic Party and the White House. Don't move.
You're with Brian Kilmeade.
A healthy weight, more energy, and smooth, regular bowel movements. Three things everyone strives for.
It's me, Chuck Norris. There's one really important thing we don't talk about enough. Our health. Achy joints, digestive issues, weight gain, and fatigue. We're told these are normal signs of aging. So working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick.
Morning Kick is a revolutionary formula combining 10 different supplements in one. Probiotics that help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and several of the most powerful anti-aging supplements on Earth. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, focused, and help manage stress.
Anybody can achieve great health regardless of their age.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com. Use code BODY or text BODY to 511-511 and claim 40% off today.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee.
Text BODY to 511-511. Morning Kick.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Roundhouse Provisions.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code YEAR to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code YEAR for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code YEAR for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
from the Fox News Podcasts Network. The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, going far beyond the headlines, tapping into the massive reporting resources of Fox News to provide a full picture of the news of the day.
I'm Dana Perino.
I'm Brett Baer.
I'm Maria Bartiromo.
I'm Brian Kilmeade, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News.
I'm Dana Perino, co-host of The Five and co-anchor of America's Newsroom. Join me for my brand new podcast, Perino on Politics. Listeners of Everything Will Be Okay will gravitate toward this podcast too. Every Monday, I'm going to talk to people I trust in politics as they tell me what they're seeing and thinking in the 2024 election cycle. As they prep me to cover the upcoming election, they'll prep you, the voters, too. Make sure you subscribe to this series on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts and leave a rating and review.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week. Every week, we check in with Jimmy Fallon, bring in authors for The Book Club, and even treat some of your favorite Fox personalities to a very special happy hour. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Kennedy Saves the World. America's listening to Fox News. He's so busy, he'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Before we get to part two of my interview with Charlemagne the God, quick note. I want to see everyone June 29th, Indianapolis, Indiana, at the Shelton Auditorium for the History, Liberty, and Laughs Tour. We have a fantastic time. We go through history, very patriotic. And then in July 27th, Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, at the Sherman Theater. Go to BrianKilmeade.com. Meet and greet opportunities there. I can talk to you before the show. But now back to Charlemagne the God. We talk about the pressure he's feeling to go ahead and endorse Joe Biden.
The pressure on you to endorse Joe Biden. I was a bit astounded on your book tour on the pressure on you. I mean, it's not that you feel it, but you're getting it.
Yeah, I'm not Captain Save a Joe. Okay? That's not what I'm here for. Right? So, yes, they are asking me, you know, why I won't endorse. Like, what does it matter? And it's not like I'm out here telling people not to vote. I want people to participate, you know, in the voting process. But all I'm going to do is put the issues out there. Right. I'm going to say what I feel. What have I been saying historically, you know, since this has started? I said that I feel like Donald Trump is not patriotic in any way, shape or form. When you have a person that says, I want to suspend the Constitution to overthrow the result, overturn the results of an election. Or you see somebody who attempted to lead a coup of this country. Or you see his lawyers standing.
I have a different interpretation of that. Although nobody thinks January 6th was a good idea
at all.
But his role in it really changed. Stopped after he gave the speech.
How do you feel about him saying we should suspend the Constitution to overturn the results of an election?
Put it this way: the last 4 years, when he was in from 2016 to 2020, mm-hmm. How did you feel about those 4 years?
We're still living in the United States of anxiety, but it was constant turmoil from him.
But in terms
every day he was stirring up waters.
Right.
Every single day.
I agree with you in one respect. There was controversy almost every day. I think 50% of it in the first 2.5 years was a fake Russia investigation, which if you look into it, there was absolutely nothing there. They were trying to suspend him. They were going to jail his brother-in-law. So when you go through that and you're constantly fighting with the media, constantly.
But what about the words out of his mouth? He said, I want to suspend the Constitution to overthrow the cornerstone of democracy, which is our elections.
Are you quoting him right now?
That was from Truth Social.
Right.
And then he turned around and said he didn't say it.
And
on top of that, like I said, leading an attempted coup of this country, I read Project 25. It's terrifying. You know,
I don't know what Project 25 is.
Brian, stop. Yes, you do.
I don't.
Yes, you do.
I really don't.
But
I know I let you down. But
when you read all of those things,
right.
You're like, man, is this who we want to be president of the United States of America? And it's not a conservative thing. It's not a Republican thing. This is a Donald Trump thing. This iteration of Trump. That's why I feel like I said, Republicans dropped the ball by not making Nikki Haley the candidate, because y'all might have had the opportunity to, you know, bring in a whole new swath of people just by trying something different.
See, everything you say, I understand it. I also think I would just, if they just treated him like a normal president, normal questions.
You can't treat
him. Then
he don't act normal, Brian. There's nothing normal about him.
But he would tell you the only reason I'm acting like that is because of the response I'm getting. So
if I go home to my wife right now and I start acting crazy, right, wilding, bugging out, and I say it's your fault, she probably won't end up filing.
Right. I just can't see you doing that, and I'm not sure that that's an accurate description.
All right, if you want to hear more of that interview, and I know you do, get the full interview, unedited, on BrianKilmeadShow.com. Just click on the podcast. Thanks for listening.
A healthy weight, more energy, and smooth, regular bowel movements. Three things everyone strives for.
It's me, Chuck Norris. There's one really important thing we don't talk about enough. Our health. Achy joints, digestive issues, weight gain, and fatigue. We're told these are normal signs of aging. So working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick.
Morning Kick is a revolutionary formula combining 10 different supplements in one. Probiotics that help you lose weight. Prebiotics for digestion. Superfoods for muscles and joints. And several of the most powerful anti-aging supplements on Earth. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, focused, and help manage stress.
Anybody can achieve great health regardless of their age.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com. Use code BODY or text BODY to 511-511 and claim 40% off today.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee.
Text BODY to 511-511. Morning Kick.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Roundhouse Provisions.
Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.